All right, we are officially recording. Let me hit the broadcast buttons. We are on...
Oh, I've got my filming figures.
Good for you, man. I like that you're prepared. That's awesome. So the Lady of Cast...
I had them last week. Hold on.
Hold on? We just started. You tell me hold on already? What a humpsky.
I am a humpsky.
All right, we are streaming. We should be going live. Let me just make sure. Let me reload this. Yes, reload. My goodness. What's going on? Okay, here we go. Sorry about all this, folks. Got to make sure everything's running. We are actually live, and Kevin has left the show already. This is unbelievable. 2 seconds. He's like,
it's just you and me, and I'm not even one of the regulars.
He's like Santino Marella in the Royal Rumble. Quick in, quick out, and he's gone for the day. Collecting a paycheck for doing absolutely nothing but getting tossed.
Like every first date I've ever been on.
Oh. Folks, we got a ton of wrestling talk to do tonight, but that's not even the fucking coup de grace of the show. Brian Pillman Jr. will be joining us at 7 o'clock. Of course, we've got Kate the Great just below me if you're watching on the hot mic. We got Kevin over to this side somewhere over there. It's the Shining Wizards. Stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I got to press a fucking button. We'll be right back. And the button didn't work. Let me try that again. We'll be right back. The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, this is professional wrestler and certified DDP yoga instructor Stevie Richards, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa! How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to another exciting edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about the wrestling. Man, it's been a while since I've said that.
I know, dude. It's awesome. Well, Tony.
KJG.
KTG. Kate's Great.
This is awesome. Oh, we've got Kate the Great on third mic tonight because Matt is shitting up a fucking lung somewhere. It's not the COVID.
He's one.
He ate the fish. Who eats the fish?
So the fish goes directly to the lungs and not the intestines or the digestive system.
Oh, no, he's already right to your... he's already thrown everything else up. He's like throwing up like his pancreas, his liver, his kidneys. The lungs
Tell us more, Dr. Tony.
Well, listen, Kevin, as you know from social media, everybody's a medical expert these days, so I just got to throw in my two cents.
Dr. Donk in
and
the
listen,
building.
I know Kate's familiar with having a doctor on the Wednesday night show, so I figure we need a little medical expertise on this show.
Don't please, yes, too. Enlighten us.
Kevin is so disgusted. I love it.
Bringing it up in the first 30 seconds of the show, you're bringing up that other nonsense. Get out of here.
You're putting me in a very awkward position, Kevin.
No, we're not.
I'm crossing stables for you guys. This is typical business.
No, it's not. We all know what drives the boat. We all know what stirs the porridge, as Matt says. We all know what brings the milkshakes to the yards or whatever.
All right, Reggie Jackson, the straw that stirs the drink. We get it.
Kevin, in fairness, the last time Kate the Great was actually third miking the show, it was one of our highest rated episodes ever.
Good point.
But it was also because Selena De La Renta was on, but
nothing to do with her. Like bombshell, amazing manager. It was clearly because I was third miking.
I think I've said this before, but Selena helps us pay the renta.
Oh, Jesus, boo hoo.
the draw. I thought I was Sami Callihan. Thought I was the draw. Tell me it's Selena. Can't really argue with that. She was awesome.
Yeah, she was a great guest. She was a great guest.
You're our draw. How about that?
Oh, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Oh, well, that sucks because that wasn't really that great. But
Kate, I really appreciate you've actually been joining us quite a bit on the Hot Mic app. Of course, we are live on the Hot Mic now. We're live on Rant EM Radio. So wherever you're listening, thank you. Did you happen to notice the picture that I kept posting up every time Matt's cat was on last week?
I did.
See, this is the great thing because Kevin and Matt have no idea because they're, you know, they're broadcasting with me, but I have to keep an eye on things to make sure they're moving. So every time the cat's anus popped up, everybody was cracking up and these guys had no idea. So after the fact, I'm like, you know, I was putting up a picture of a cat's asshole during the show. And they were like, no.
I was on the Hot Mic all the time while we were doing the show last week. I didn't see it.
For real?
Yeah.
It's the cat's asshole. I love the Hot Mic. I love that I can harass you just like 24/7, even during the show. I've got it on the Discord. I can tweet at you, but getting to harass you guys live in the Hot Mic is awesome.
It's so great. It's such a great piece of technology. If you guys aren't watching on the Hot Mic, do a search whether you're on Apple stuff or if you're on what's the other thing called? It's not Apple. What's the other?
Android?
Yes, Orange. That's it. So yeah, go find your Droid store or whatever and download Hot Mic. It's a great app. Use the code Wizards to get in for free and you're good to go. You can check us out. There's tons of other shows on there too. I have no idea what they are because I don't really listen to the other shows because it's all about us. But yeah, it's good times. They're good people over there at Hot Mic. So go over there.
Wait. So I need a code to listen for free?
No, you don't, but if you put in a code Wizardski, you know, like they kinda know that you know, we sent you, so
There you go.
A little something for your boys for all the good work we do.
That's right. So join us on the Hot Mic, and joining us in about 9 minutes or so will be the one and only Brian Pillman Jr.
You want to talk
star
about
star of MLW, yeah. Legendary son of the legendary Brian Pillman, and of course recently made his debut on AEW Dark. So we'll be talking to him about all that good stuff. Coming up in just a few minutes. I'm excited for that. Lots to talk about, lots to unwrap with Mr. Brian Pillman Jr.
You want to do the intro when he calls in? That sounds perfect.
I just did it. There's no way I can do it again. You kidding me?
You see, that's Kevin's problem. Kevin does something so amazing, and then he has zero faith that he could follow it up. He's just like, nope, done, over. Pfft, forget it. Nope.
Story of my life.
Hey, you know what I was bummed out about? I know Mike Tyson's making his return to boxing in September, but I found out they canceled Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
It's donezo. Now, part of me is hoping that Mike Tyson gets the shit beat out of him, so maybe he goes back for a season 5, but I really don't want to see that happen because I like Mike Tyson the boxer.
Tony always coming in hot with the big news story of the week.
Listen, Kevin.
They canceled Mike Tyson Mysteries.
It can't all be local news, Kev. You want me to give you reports about what's going on in Newark?
Or we could talk. You know what? Actually, just got word. Brian Pillman Jr. canceled. We are going to be spending the next 2 hours talking about WWECW.
Oh, fuck yes.
Oh, without Matt. That feels wrong. You should save that for Matt. It's his favorite wrestling promotion of all time.
Wait, Kev, coming over the line right now, real quick. We're going to be covering WWECW from 7 till about 8:45, and then from 8:45 until we're tired of it. And trust me, we'll never get tired of it. We're gonna recover and re-examine the life of Bruno Sammartino. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight.
Tony, that's a long time coming, I think. This podcast, because we don't talk about Bruno Sammartino enough, and
definitely
we don't talk about WWECW enough. So I think these two topics are going to put us over the top downloads wise. So Selena De La Renta is going to have to take a back seat to this amazing show. It's going to be called WWE Sammartino.
Matt is never going to let me fill in for anything ever
again.
No.
This is going to be the highest rated episode ever. We need you back every other week. Come on.
Just so people don't turn off, Brian Pillman Jr. is joining us.
Yeah, good thing you clarified. We probably, It was probably like when Mick Foley won the title, like 600,000 people just switched over.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
They're watching reruns of The Modern Family right now, as opposed to listening to us talk to Brian Pillman Jr., who was a Heart Legacy, baby. I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
Going to be a good time. It's just a shame that Matt's not going to be here to question him about his luxurious locks. That's what I was looking forward to.
I'm going to have to ask. There's no way I can't ask.
Oh, we're fucking throwing his ass under the bus. No doubt about it. They fucking threw.
Yeah.
Do you think he's backing out? Do you think he's taking a powder because he's afraid to confront Pillman about the hair?
Oh, you think I'm just doing Matt's heavy lifting?
I think Wednesday I am.
Why not throw it in tonight, too?
You're like the diesel to his HBK. You're the one that's going to ask the hard-hitting questions because Matt literally at this point doesn't have the stomach.
He literally
doesn't have
guts.
He doesn't have, and if he does have the guts, as Dr. Donk has already said, he's pooping him out.
Dr. Donk!
You're like a psychiatrist, a physician. You're everything all rolled into one, Dr. Donk.
God, the amount of school you had to attend to me. I'm assuming an epidemiologist, because everyone is. And then to be diagnosing whatever Matt has, and then the psychology behind the fact that Matt is throwing all of his dirty work onto me.
Wow.
That's a lot of medical school, my friend.
Throwing his dirty work and a bunch of other dirty things out of his friggin' pie hole.
Dr. Donk dropping the knowledge, his PhD, PhD Donk.
Poor Matt. Poor Matt.
Yes, seriously, feel better, buddy. You do mean
so,
that.
Who is your favorite star to emerge from WWE CW?
Well, Kate, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Well, who is it?
Probably Shannon Moore.
Oh, stop. You didn't go with Zack Ryder? What's wrong with you?
Zack Ryder, 100%. Then Shannon Moore.
No
CM Punk? No.
No.
No Kofi Kingston, no Mike Knox, no Kelly.
Even though Shannon Moore was in WWE before that, I still would go Zack Ryder, then probably Shannon Moore.
No Sylvester Turkay.
Ooh, I thought about Turkay.
No Marcus Corvon.
Looked me in the eye and said you would choose Zack Ryder over CM Punk.
As my favorite, not as who's better.
Okay, fair enough. Tony, who is your favorite WWE CW superstar?
Kate with the hard-hitting questions.
I know. I'm coming in hot. Yeah.
I would probably go with Ariel, because she did the upside-down thing, the vampire woman.
All right.
I miss Shelley. We should get her back on the old Podski.
Listen, she hurt herself pretty badly last time she wrestled for Impact. I don't know if she's going to be returning anytime soon.
What did she do? How did she hurt herself?
Kevin, you don't remember?
I don't.
Oh,
I feel bad because it seems like a really serious injury here.
And of course, I don't have it on the soundboard.
No problem. We have a lot. Tony, we got a lot going on.
We got a lot of WWE to cover. We can't touch all day on that.
Don't have it on the soundboard. I'm going to cry.
Wait, it's gone forever?
No, I just don't know where it is. Oh, wait, maybe this is it? Oh, God, I hate this new software. Yeah, she was in a lot of pain.
You know what's so funny about that is it sounds like Matt is doing the commentary underneath.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you say to that, though? I mean, I don't blame him.
You could be like, what are you going to do?
That poor woman. Oh my God, Brian does not know what he's getting himself into in the next minute or two. Holy cow.
I'm having a great time. This is great. But obviously, we wish Matt could obviously be here, but he is not. So we will have fun at his expense for a little bit.
In the honor of Matt, we are posting a picture of a cat's butthole. I got to take this down. Pillman's going to call him.
It's perfect.
And I saw my reflection
in the cat.
good Lord. What happened? Yeah, everything okay?
I just turned on the hot mic and my sound was still out of my phone. So Matt is going ham in the hot mic.
Oh God, I snorted.
Matt is, all the messages are all Matt. How rude. Afraid of Pillman? Are you serious? Dr. Donk? That's a fucking t-shirt. I hate you all.
Wait, if he's interacting in the hot mic, can't you ask him who his favorite WWE CW superstar is? I'm going to keep saying superstar, not wrestler, by the way, because if we're talking WWE CW,
extremists.
Excuse me, really?
They were Raw and SmackDown superstars. They were ECW extremists.
That's right.
Terrible. How
was Matt's favorite extremist?
I can hear Kate.
Download Hot Mic, use the Shining Wizards link, and get in the Hot Mic and just tell everybody who your favorite WWECW extremist is.
Listen, they had the zombie. I wonder, Dr. Donk would have made a great ECW extremist.
That is one. He just missed his time, but like, if anything, he's a WWECW extremist.
Dr. Right. Donk lost out the job of the ECW physician to Dr. Heine. The guy that was taking care of Jim Ross.
My God.
Hey, I pulled your head out of your ass.
Oh, wait, yeah, Vince was Dr. Heine. JR was the Heine.
Gosh.
Who played?
Amazing that it didn't work out.
Who played the better doctor? Vince as Dr. Heine or Austin as Dr. Austin when he beat the shit out of Vince? Oh, thank you, nurse. I got it from here.
They were both pretty bad.
They were, but at least Vince was getting his shit kicked in when it was Austin.
Oh, when he takes the fucking enema tube and he just jams into Vince's ass and then he gets the paddles? The best part of that whole thing was that when Vince realized it was Austin, like, the heart monitor started, like, really going fast. It went, like, beep, beep, beep.
That's some good attention to detail, Dr.
Donk. That's fucking detail. Like, you don't get detail like that in 2020. Like, that was amazing, whoever thought to do that.
Amazing storytelling.
You don't get detail or retail in 2020.
Yeah. We don't get much of anything anymore. We might not even be getting baseball anymore.
We get a lot of wrestling.
Of course
we
do.
No more baseball ever again.
And speaking of wrestling, joining us on the hotline right now. That's right, Kevin, put on your serious face. It's time to welcome our guest. He is becoming the fastest rising star in professional wrestling. You could see him on MLW. You could see him on AEW Dark the past couple of weeks. A man who needs no introduction. He's been growing by leaps and bounds over the past couple of years. And we welcome him to the Shining Wizards on the hotline, Mr. Brian Pillman Jr. Brian, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. How's everybody doing?
So we're having so much fun, brother. It's so great to hear your voice. And I just want to tell you before we get started, you have been on an amazing run. I've been following you since you came up with MLW, all the stuff with the Hart Dynasty, all the big matches you have in AEW Dark right now. They're really strapping the rocket to your back, my friend. What's it like to be on this whirlwind the past 2 years?
I've been taking advice. I've really been taking advice from my veterans and the guys that kind of brought me in. Everybody's treated me with utmost respect, you know. So I'm no stranger to sports and stuff like that and paying your dues. So I'm just trying to make all the right plays I can and make people look as good as they make me look good, you know. So that's what this business is all about. It's all about taking care of each other's bodies and trying to get a lot of mileage out of this, you know.
So when you go from like place to place, like MLW, obviously you were a mainstay in for a while, AEW and all the stops in between, has there ever been like a piece of advice that you've gotten that has been consistent in terms of what to do to further your career?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are consistent and there's a lot of things that are inconsistent as well. Each performer is different and you know, what's going to work for me isn't necessarily going to work for every other guy. You know, everybody's got different strengths and weaknesses. But for me, I've had such a variety of people to pick their brains from, you know, just having those opportunities at places like MLW and, of course, AEW, where the top-of-the-line guys are at, you know. So It's been a pretty long road just in these short couple of years. You know, you would think that I'd only been doing this for a little while, but it seems like I've been doing it a lot longer because I've been having so many matches. You know, my schedule has just been, was so packed, you know, before the pandemic, and now going into the pandemic, I'm still getting some work, you know, still staying busy, just trying to do my best, you know.
100%. And obviously the Storm Wrestling Academy is a place where unfortunately it's no longer around, but training under Lance Storm, was that a coincidence? Was that just because, you know, the Canadian roots of the Hearts and your father and all that stuff, or was it, did you have any other places in mind that you wanted to train, or was it Lance Storm or bust?
Well, you know, Lance's school was kind of an accelerated, you know, academy in a way. You know, really set me up to be a lot more professional, set me up to be a lot safer in the ring with guys. It set me up to be a lot more consistent of a work ethic and as a performer. So really it was a shortcut from going to Lance Storm School, you know, a school that, like you said, is not around anymore, but it was one of those hidden gems in the wrestling business for people looking to get into the business. So I made a lot of good choices early on. You know, I got with a lot of the right people. You know, always was blessed with the opportunity to date MLW, and getting to work with Davey Boy and Teddy was really fun. So
it's so interesting whenever I hear legacies get talked to, because there's obviously a tremendous amount of good things that can come from that, but also a tremendous amount of pressure. Do you feel like it's helped you? Do you feel like it's harder to stand out because people expect you to have a predetermined path? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's definitely, there's definitely a lot of expectations, you know, and some of them are not even, you know, controllable, you know, just with the way my father was viewed, you know, as a martyr for this business and a timeless talent, you know. So it's very hard to step outside that shadow, but I've been getting some feedback recently that people are pretty happy with how I'm kind of being myself and kind of coming into my own. But yeah, it's always going to be a part of my story, right? It's always going to be in the back of my mind is trying to stand out and trying to be different than my father, but at the same time excelling to that degree, you know, to that ability and that level. So, but the pressure is what gets you up in the morning and gets you to go out there and kick ass every day. So I don't mind the pressure.
How much effort does it take to establish your own identity? I know you don't want to completely, like, for example, the one guy that comes to mind is a guy that was in WWE for a while, Joe Hennig Jr., Joe Hennig, who was rebranded everything but Hennig. You are Brian Pillman Jr. That's who you are. That's what you want to be. But how different at the same time is it to establish your own identity? And do you feel that in the future being a hindrance or an advantage?
No, I think in the long term, performer, it's definitely an advantage to go my own path and really create my own sort of legacy, because that'll be the more fruitful journey, you know, at the end of the day. But at the same time, there are the pros and cons to everything, you know. So I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand the questions.
I'm just saying, like, keeping the name, which obviously is, I mean, that's you, that's who you are. But at the same time, you're trying to establish your own, I guess, idea of who you want to be while keeping that name.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think I'm at an advantage there just because I was very smart in that I didn't study my dad's work a lot, and I tried to avoid it for fear that I would pick up on too many things and be a little too close to that. And it ended up the way I studied and the way I developed myself, that everything from his likeness type of stuff just came natural in genetics and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It was, you know, there's a lot of things I don't do that have anything to do with my father, but it just so happens to look that way because of our genetics, our body language in the ring and stuff like that. So some stuff you just can't avoid, but at the same time, yeah, I think it's an uphill battle to, you know, constantly be differentiating myself from him, but at the same time, it's a great way to exercise, you know, the creativity and the creative freedom that we have, you know, as pro wrestlers.
And I know these questions you've probably got a million times. So let's focus on something fun. Let's talk about MLW for a little bit. What was or has been the most enjoyable thing about working for a company like MLW? They always seem to me to be on the cusp of greater and greater things. And every day you always see headlines about MLW.
Great crew, great production, great talent, very tried, very proven talent. You know, guys that have, you know, great resumes. We were running hot. We were running hot. You know, nothing was there to stop us. You know, we were selling out shows and from Dallas all the way up to Queens, New York, you know, so it was a good time. You know, MLW, great production, great staff. Nothing bad to say about them.
And talking about other second generation wrestlers, which obviously, you know, with Teddy and with Davey Jr. and of course Devon Erics are there, and you know Jacob Fatu, a complete lineage of unbelievable imaginable history. Is there that kind of bond between you guys? Is that a myth? More specifically, I guess between the guys there, but overall in terms of like second generation guys, third generation guys and girls. Is there a real bond there, or is that just something that's kind of blown up and you just get along with who you get along with?
No, you know, I think in many cases there is. That is a very true thing. You know, the second and third generation experience of kids, you at least, you know, get to know them and experience them in some way, meet them on the road or maybe at a show or maybe at a big time show like AEW in a locker room. But no, I think it's a part of everybody has their own journey in wrestling. And I think all the second gen like have their own little separate journey, but it all started with something, right? It all started with a man or woman in their family that, you know, became something in wrestling. So they feel obligated to continue that journey. So I think that by nature of having so many things in common and also in a demographic sense, you know, in common, that I think second generationers, generation wrestlers tend to get along very well.
Awesome. Go.
Okay. It's funny with everything that's happening with COVID and so many promotions coming to a halt. There's so many mixed reviews about what this is doing for wrestlers. In the meantime, some people are so happy because their bodies are getting a break for the first time in forever. Other people are going absolutely crazy because they're not in the ring as much. How are you handling it? And you seem to be filling in with shows all over the place. So what's that been like for you and having to get back to the drawing board in a sense?
Yeah, just with the whole pandemic, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
How it's affecting the economy. Well, it's been crazy. You know, everybody's scrambling to, you know, put some content out online. People, you know, mixing it up with their merch. You know, you're always trying to find a way, an avenue. Maybe you're working on, a video game deal or something to keep you afloat, you know, for the foreseeable future, because, you know, the entertainment business is taking a huge hit, especially in sports and sports entertainment, which of course wrestling is. So there's a great reason to be, hustling and to be at the top of your game right now, because once these jobs do come back, you know, once the indies start flooding up, I'm having a lot of success, in the South, in Tennessee and Alabama, getting some bookings, just kind of chasing after it, you know, getting after it. But not everybody has that mobility or that geographic advantage. So I'm right in the middle of the states. You know, I can kind of pick and choose, take some gigs if I think they're safe enough, you know, if they're playing by the rules, you know. So you just got to get out there and hustle. And I've been in my car a lot lately. You know, I've been traveling around training. I've trained all over the, you know, east side of the U.S. for, you know, the past couple months and also been doing shows. So I'm staying fit. I'm staying active and on top of it. I think that'll reflect in my work, you know, in the ring going forward at AEW or elsewhere.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. The couple nights you had on AEW Dark. What was that like, and what is that promotion like in the locker room and in the atmosphere? Again, I know we're in different times now, but what was that like, and what was that experience like for you?
It's just a family vibe, you know, very, very great team at AEW. I've talked about this before on another podcast, but
A lot of the roster are friends that I grew up with on the indies, you know, in my first couple of years on the indies. So it's like I've shared locker rooms with these guys multiple times. You know, we're all on a name-by-name basis. You know, there's not a hand I don't shake in the person I don't know in the building. So I feel very at home. I feel very very much a family there. So it's a pretty good team, pretty good environment, very diverse environment. I don't agree with anybody that doesn't think it's diverse. It's very diverse. It's probably one of the most diverse work environments I've ever been in my entire life, you know, we're hands down. So, no, they're doing a lot of great things at AEW. They're very safe as well. Very, very, very careful and cautious with protocols involving the pandemic and making sure everybody's safe. There hasn't been a single case, I don't think. So it's been really good.
You mentioned you've been traveling a lot. Have you seen anything that's been like completely egregious, or you've been like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to be working your show tonight because I don't like the way this looks or that looks, or has everything been cool with you been traveling around?
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah. Of the shows I've been to, I've been pretty well taken care of. You know, people have been doing their part, and you know, a lot of people just wanting to get back out there. You know, wanting wrestling back and stuff, and I've been blessed. So each place I visit, I pretty much every time I have to get a COVID test, and I've been getting negative after negative, and AEW with the blood test on top of that. So I'm getting both types of tests, and I'm getting them every other week. You know, so I'm constantly, you know, monitoring my health, doing my best, trying not to get hurt in the ring either. It's a very important thing. So every time you go out in that wrestling ring, you know, you risk losing your life. You know, wrestling's not a joke of an ordeal. You know, you could go out there and break your neck in one night. You know what I mean? You're risking your life. So essentially, you're just factoring in all that extra risk, and then there you go. You decide if it's worth making a living or not, you know.
We are on the line with Brian Pillman Jr., of course, at Flying Brian Jr. on Twitter, Flying Brian 41 on Instagram. You spent a lot of time, of course. We talked about MLW, and I said it at the top of the interview, you did have quite a whirlwind run coming into 2020. A two-time Rookie of the Year. I'm still trying to figure out how that works, but if anybody could do it, it's got to be Brian Pillman Jr. Of course. Former tag champs with Davey Boy Smith Jr., member of the Hart Dynasty. So you've really had quite a bit of...
Hart,
I mean,
Hart Foundation, Matt.
Matt? All
right, Tony.
Yeah. So you made a mistake and I made a mistake. Yeah. Sorry. All right. So let me take it back from the Hart with the Hart Foundation. Also, finals of the Opera Cup found you across the ring from Davey Boy Smith. Were you able to slow down and appreciate everything that was happening for you, or were you just caught up in the whirlwind and just taking a ride?
You know, it has been so fast, and again, a lot of times I feel like I've been doing this a lot longer, and I truly haven't. It's just something it's been such a frequent aspect of my life for, you know, for the past couple of years. It's almost ingrained into me. How the taping of a show goes, and getting in and out of the airport, going to the venue. You know what I mean? I've gotten very, very good with the scheduling and with the travel. It definitely complements my personality and stuff. And I think MLW has been great about that, and always keeping me up in good places, you know, taking care of me. And no, it's been a great opportunity there. You know, as far as me always, you know, always working at that top level, but never quite being that guy, you know, working with Hammerstone, not quite getting the title there, but then going to the Opera Cup, not quite winning that either. So you look around at all these, you know, pictures of the top card, and I'm in all of them, you know. Come to AEW, and my first opportunity is against Brian Cage. The second opportunity is against Brian Cage. He's in the world title picture, you know what I mean? So I'm always gunning for something, you know. I'm very goal-oriented in wrestling, and I'm very much a singles competitor, and I think both of those companies will reflect that, you know. Seemingly, you know, MLW's got a very sports vibe, and AEW has a very tag team, action-packed vibe, so maybe I'd stick out a little more in AEW as a singles competitor. You know, maybe MLW has painted a good picture for me too, and as a singles competitor. But I, you know, as you see with the Fatu match as well, I'm always in these title pictures. But what everybody's waiting for, what the ultimate payoff at the end of all this is going to be, the title picture that I'm where I'm holding the title. You know, where I finally get what I've been chasing after. So I think that's going to be my story. I think that's who I am as Bulletproof. I can take a hit and I can keep on going, and I'm going to keep on going, and I'm going to keep on going until I get what I think I need, which is a title.
Is it difficult to adapt working across so many promotions? Like you said, you're doing indie shows, you've been doing MLW, all of a sudden you're at AEW. Does adapting to all the different vibes seem difficult or troubling at all? Or are you just, you're showing up doing what you do just at a, in a different squared circle?
Yeah, I mean, it's more or less a geographical thing, I think, depending on what style you're working without the fans, there's really no difference. You know, if you're filming something and there's no fans, you don't have to, you know, adapt too much as far as your style goes in the ring. But yeah, I think you're constantly adapting on the road when it comes to geographical situations and when fans are in shows. But yeah, I mean, as far as going from these indies you were talking about and having all these fans and then going to AEW and it being a closed taping with no fans, yeah, that's a weird transition, I think, you know, that people deal with and have to adapt to.
What is, how far back does the relationship with you, obviously everyone knows the relationship that your father had with the Harts, how far back does your relationship go with the second generation, third, whatever, Hart family? And was that a bond that was created out of the love of wrestling, or were you guys always tight? Is it something that just happened, or were you guys always close?
No, I mean, it definitely happened later in life. Like I've talked about, like in past podcasts about my story, my mom's more or less alienated us from the business, you know, not, just didn't really keep in touch, so to speak, with a lot of people in wrestling. But when I, you know, got into wrestling at 23, 24 and went up to, basically when I went up to live in Calgary, you know, I started to meet all these guys. That's when the relationship began, was a couple years ago. When I went up to train with Lance Storm up in Calgary, I lived up there for 3 months. So there's plenty of time to get together with these guys, Bruce Hart Jr., you know, different guys. I really got to meet the Hart family and Blade Hart and all those guys. And it was really cool to go from there and then to go like straight from there. And the next thing I know, I'm tagging with Teddy and David West. So I was like, oh, okay, well, this is really cool, you know.
So what do you think makes you, what do you think is your biggest strength in the business? Is it your persona? Is it your ability to speak? Is it your in-ring ability? And out of the three, what do you think is your biggest advantage to finally, and listen, you're already there as far as we're concerned, but to finally make that final push to where you need to be?
Yeah, I think all my life I've always had sort of this very resounding confidence, this sort of undeniable trait. You know, I kind of walk into a room and I put smiles on people's faces. I don't know. I've always brought people together. I've always been a very social person. And I think I connect with a lot of people's stories, a lot of people in the crowd and a lot of people out there who watch wrestling. So I think I'm a very relatable person, but I'm also, you know, a very, attractive looking, you know, athlete that has come from nothing. You know, I fought my way out of poverty, essentially, you know, because of losing my father and everything. So I take wrestling very, very seriously. And I think when I, just from walking to the ring and my presence and how I treat the entrance and how I get in the ring and respect the ring is enough of a story in and of itself that I'm already one whole level above the rest of the game. You know what I'm saying?
If I may do so with all sincerity, I do agree that you are a handsome fella, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, what was the impetus behind the mullet? Because I got to tell you, in 2020, I don't know too many people who can get away with a mullet, especially one as luxurious as yours. So can you please, please enlighten us? Because there happens to be a fella associated with this show who didn't really like the mullet at first. I thought you were an amazing talent, but didn't really understand the haircut. So please, if you could enlighten us, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Well, the mullet, as most people know, is a very functional decision. You know, it keeps the hair out of your eyes, but, you know, gives you that those fresh, luscious locks that everybody likes to see, you know, in a wrestling match. So it was definitely a functional decision that I learned from Lance Storm when I was training. And I'd already been growing my hair out really, really long, you know, because I was like, I'm going to be a wrestler. Better grow all my freaking hair out. And so I just had an ultimate canvas to start off with a really good mullet without, like, trying to get a mullet, like trying to grow one. I just had the hair available and ready. And I was like, all right, let's customize this thing into a mullet. And it was probably the best decision I ever made. It made my whole career.
Now, I got to tell you, I enjoyed the Bleach Blonde, but I'm really digging what I saw in AEW with, like, the little bit of the tips in the back. Why the change?
There's no change. That's just how your hair grows over a while. And, you know, it costs, like, hella money to bleach your hair like that all the time. So, you know, once it grows out, and I try something new, you know.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
It's all about evolving. Like, I never do the same, like, hairstyle, like, the next time you see me on AEW, my hair is already different. Like, I'm looking at it right now, and I've already got a new haircut. So
that's crazy. Who do you go to the same?
Evolving. Yeah. The hair maintenance is its own business. I basically write all that off on my taxes. You know,
nice.
It's a lot of work and money to take care of a good, you know, famous head of hair like this. You know,
it is. It's luxurious and amazing. I bow to the mullet. I swear, I love that haircut. Sorry, I'm gushing a little. My co-hosts are looking at me like I'm crazy.
Uh-oh. Calm down now. Clean that up.
Clean it up. So now, how much does that go for? You change it every single time. Are you a hair professional yourself?
Oh, me?
Yeah, like, do you take care of that? Do you maintain?
Oh, I mean, I pay the professionals. I pay the professionals to take care of my hair. And my my girlfriend here is very good with makeup and hair too, so she takes good care of me.
There you go. You see, he knows what he wants, and he just tells him, and he's got a good crew that takes care of it. I like it. I wish I had a crew to take care of my hair.
Pillman's got it good.
He does. He deserves it. Nobody deserves it more than Brian Pillman Jr.
So other than wrestling, in 2020, what does Brian Pillman do to just chill and relax, or how does he spend his free time?
I've been lifting a lot lately. I've been really, really building up my body because of, you know, how wrestling has been going and the fewer opportunities that there are that I really want to get after it and chase one down. So I'm in the best shape of my life right now because I basically live in the gym. But, you know, there'll be times when I'm not as crazy. Like, sometimes I chill out, hang out, play some games or something. On the PlayStation, you know, but you know, girlfriend watches Netflix, I'll sit and watch that too, you know. But mostly just I'm in the gym eating spinach and eating chicken and trying to get huge.
That's right, spinach and chicken, baby.
You looking forward to the PS5?
Yeah, actually, I think it's gonna knock the Xbox One out of the water.
See, now we got heat. I'm an Xbox guy, I got nothing against the PlayStation, but I know it's kind of like a Hatfield and McCoy kind of thing.
But I just know that, like, from what I've seen, like, the Xbox just isn't coming out with anything cooler.
Yeah, it's kind of
the next one.
No, you're right. It looks disappointing. I got to say, I'm kind of digging what the PS5 is putting out there. I'm a little disappointed in what Microsoft's got coming out, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Microsoft is slacking, brother.
A little bit, man. A little bit.
Well, now I just what are your top games? What are you rocking on your PS?
Well, a fan bought me Persona 5, which is nice. No, I was working my way through that. I used to play Apex on the PlayStation 4. My buddies play Smash Ultimate, and we play fighting games too, like Street Fighter.
Who's your character on Smash?
Ganondorf, and then fucking Terry or whatever. What's his name, Terry?
Yeah, see, I love Kirby. I've played as Kirby since the very first one, and people think I'm a cheater, but I can't help it. I just win. It's not like I'm, like, hacking the game or anything.
Yeah, Kirby's wild. I always hate playing Kirby. I hate the ones that float around, you know, goofy.
People get pissed off because, you know, Kirby could get knocked off the screen. You just tap the button a couple times, you float right back. You can't get rid of him that easy. That's why I love him. People get pissed off when I play his Kirby.
I'm terrible at I'm terrible at video games, and I'm always Kirby because I just turn myself into a rock, and so then I always just last forever because that's all I do. And people get so pissed off.
That's the classic move.
Absolutely.
Kirby's the best.
Any dream opponents coming up? Anybody that you got your eye on that you're looking to face in any and all of these promotions here?
Yeah, I mean, Warrior Wrestling, look forward to that. That's a huge show. That's next Friday Night Lights.
and I'll be facing Robert Anthony. I'll be defending my Warrior Wrestling Championship. And then for you guys that don't know, Warrior Wrestling is this, it's this big indie out based out in Chicago, and they run out of a Catholic high school, but they bring in all the biggest names. You know, they bring in a lot of guys from AEW and MLW and stuff too, and Impact. So they're always booking their shows up really stacked. So you guys should check them out.
What's the date on the show, Brian?
August 7th.
August 7th. So if you're in the Chicago area and you're looking to get out, you know, do a little of the social distancing, but get out and check out some wrestling. Chicago, August 7th, Warriors Wrestling.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, no problem, man. Listen, real quick, I'll give you the plugs real quick. It's at Flying Brian Jr. on the Twitter, Flying Brian 41 on Instagram. He's got a pro wrestling tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/Brian Pillman Jr. Brian, anything else you want to leave us with before we let you go?
Hey, thanks for following my journey. There's plenty of surprises coming soon, so stay tuned to your favorite wrestling promotions. You never know where I'll pop up next.
Sounds awesome. Looking forward to the rest of the ride, my friend. Be well. Thanks for joining us.
Have a good one.
Take care. Brian Pillman Jr., everyone.
Yeah.
Right on.
I asked him about the mullet. Somebody wasn't here to do it, and I did it.
I was at the exact same, once he said very attractive, I was like, now's the time to ask about the mullet.
See,
and you Kate, jumped in, and I'm proud of you, buddy.
See, Kate? I mean, we're professionals here. You see, we got the same vibe. We all, you know, jumped in on that.
And I gotta say, it's hard to be mad at it now because it's organic. Lance Storm, apparently, some people give each other finishers. He gave him the mullet. He was like, this is what you should do with your hair.
That's a hell of a hand-me-down, especially from somebody like Lance Storm.
I feel like he didn't get super excited until we started talking about the mullet.
I know. Mullet and video games. Like, wrestling is cool and all, but let's talk about my awesome hair.
Let's talk about my freaking hair, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we've been doing this long enough. Like, I mean, we could sit here and do like the, oh, where'd you go to wrestling school? Like, you know, and do that for an hour, or we could have some fun with it. I always like to kind of try to find that spot.
And that's my bad. I wanted to get to the, to get in the open up, and I just couldn't think of the questions to ask them. I just couldn't.
That was fine. It was fine.
That was good. You got it. It is a wrestling podcast. We got to ask them about wrestling too. But.
Yeah, it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling right here on the Shining Wizards.
It is crazy. I mean, to be doing what he's doing, to be doing indies and MLW and now on AEW Dark, like that's unignorable. That's pretty cool. So I'm excited to see where he's showing up.
You know what? In my research, like he's talked about like his relationship with his mother and like everything that went into that. And I kind of like, it's kind of a buzzkill. It's kind of like something like he's talked about so much already. It's not so much of a thing that I would want to talk about all the time. You know what I'm saying?
No, of course not. And I feel like that's why I love what we do, because we tend to separate ourselves from other podcasts and other wrestling media in terms of what we talk about. And he just didn't, I don't know. It was weird to me.
Like I'll give you an example. I was talking with Mike Freeland. I'll give him a plug. Listen to him over on Front Row Material with Mikey Whipwreck and Jerry Lynn. Original ECW stars, by the way, not WWE CW stars, which I know those are bigger stars. Okay. But, so I was talking with Mike Freeland.
We might do two top fives tonight, Tony.
So I was telling Mike, I'm like, you know, we kind of like try to ask those like off the beaten path questions. I said, did you know that Ethan Page on his first day doing door-to-door sales clogged a customer's toilet and walked out of the house? And he's like, I did not know that. I said, well, you see, we didn't know it either until we asked him about it. That was your former Impact Tag Team Champion that, you know, shitted up somebody's house.
Ah. What a tragedy. They lost the belts.
And I said, did you know Darby Allin made doo-doo art? And he said, I didn't know that either.
He does make doo-doo art.
A lot of duty talk today.
A lot of poop talk.
Hey, listen, you brought up the fact that we tend to go off the beaten path, and I just wanted to give some examples. I thought, you know, why not enlighten the new listeners?
I feel like that's where Matt excels. Because, like, I feel like Matt is really great with questions like that.
We never knew that Drew Gulak's favorite cheesesteak place in Philly was Gooey Louie's. Never even knew that place existed. Now we know. Yeah,
it's a weird place.
You know, it was weird too. Kate, your cat was walking by at one point, and when I looked at your screen, all I saw was cat asshole and a tail. And I was ready
that's
to hit
dog
the...
ass, sir.
Oh, that it's,
dog
that's a dog?
Thank you very much.
That's a hell of a tail. Is that Buster?
It is Buster.
Buster's got a hell of a tail on him. Good Lord, I thought it was a cat.
Yeah. This isn't that Wednesday night stuff, so keep Buster out of this.
I'm just busting.
I have no control over what he does. Otherwise, the Wednesday night situation wouldn't have been.
Well, it made me feel
more. I don't want to know him. Keep him out.
It made me feel comfortable because I'm used to seeing Matt's cat's asshole all over the screen, so I just felt like it was just another Monday.
I'm just trying to help you guys. Like, how can we make this assimilate a little bit easier because Matt's not here? I'll put my dog's ass right on screen for you. So you're welcome, Kevin.
All right, that's fair. All right, when you're beat, you're beat. Listen, sometimes you just take the L. I'm taking the L. That's a good call, Kate.
There you go.
I feel like we're at home now.
In these unprecedented times, I was going to give you my dog's ass to make it more feel like every Monday night. So you're welcome.
If I don't see at least one domesticated animal's butthole a week,
it's not Monday.
Did it ever happen?
Yeah. I mean, truly, is it an episode? Where are we?
So. Man, there's not one domesticated animal's sphincter in my face. Then we haven't lived.
Sphincter would have been a great WWECW extremist. Yeah.
No. Sphincter says what?
What?
Well, so I, just to circle back, not about animals' butts, but to circle back to Flying Brian. But he said he's switching up his hair every week. Joey Janela does the same thing. I don't know if you've noticed. I think he did the braids 2 weeks in a row. But he was doing the same thing there for a while. And I remember someone had mentioned that. I'm going to put myself over on the Jericho Cruise. But someone, I think he might have told someone that. But now I started noticing, like, who's changing up their shit every week.
Kate.
Oh, no.
Kate. Name dropping. Kind of my thing.
See, Kevin makes a point. So, there's a lot of gimmick infringement going on Wednesday nights. I mean, I don't want to talk about Wednesday nights too often, you know, the AEW.
Oh, I wasn't talking about Wednesday nights. He just mentioned, you know, the Jericho Cruise.
Chris Jericho? Was
on a boat, this and that.
Wait, you have the picture with?
Yeah, you got it.
I have been in the casino and MJF pressed my fucking lever button thing. And... may I have been on the elevator with Luchasaurus and not known it because he just looks like a dude that's really big that's without his mask on? Yeah. Okay. You want to drop some names? Go on the cruise, bud.
Here's the difference between you and me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you just dropped Matt Cardona's name and Brian Myers' name.
I don't have to go on a boat to drop names.
I don't have to go on a boat. I just
go to the iPhone 5S, the very prestigious, very expensive iPhone 5S. And I got all the names I need. So you go at sea, you go out in the ocean, you go, play. I don't know how people play sports on those boats. Seems a little weird to me. You get your seasickness. I'll just punch in a little thing on here and, oh, hello, Colt Cabana.
How many gigs you rocking on your 5S? How many gigabytes you rocking? You got like 128?
It's probably
256, motherfucker.
What's a gigabyte? I don't even know what that is. I'm pretty sure I used all my storage, put in the notes for my list tonight.
More storage, more contacts, more name drops.
Good God.
Let's just end this peacefully before it gets really ugly.
You should save the animosity for Can You Beat That, which you're going to be playing in a little while.
Oh, we got some games, baby.
What do you guys want to talk about? I got a ton of notes here from Mr. Diarrhea Man, and it seems like a lot of them's AEW. One question I do have to ask. So I watched AEW Dark, not this week, I guess, because it airs tomorrow, but for the first time last week. Don't you think it's kind of weird? Like I feel like they're putting the matches on like in a weird order. Like the very first match, it was daylight, and then the next match was like complete darkness. Is that a thing they do on Dark?
That was good. You think they're going on in a... Whoa. Buster does not like your criticisms of Dark.
Sorry, Buster.
I don't know. I don't feel like it's a weird order. Do you feel that way, or do you not watch, Kevin?
I didn't watch this past week. Did I watch this past week's? But I have been watching Dark, but I did not watch... I don't think I watched this past Dark. What were the matches?
Sheeta wrestled that Gucci girl. What's her name? It was some girl who was worried about getting her hair messed up. Her name was like Louis Gucci or some shit. I don't know. I don't have it here, but Sheeta won, of course. No, it wasn't Ivelisse. Who the hell did she wrestle? It was some woman with her hair. She didn't want to get her hair messed up. Fuck, I don't have it. Well, anyway, yeah, she lost.
No, but I have been watching Dark, and I do enjoy it just from like the wrestling standpoint. But for some reason, I just didn't catch it this past week. But I did watch anyway. I don't want to go ahead to Dynamite, so just go with what you were.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I said this a couple Wednesdays ago. I feel like AEW Dark is like a field trip to me. Like, so I don't think I pay that close attention to the match order because it just like feels like just like fun. Like, I don't feel like I need the same cohesion that I do on Wednesday nights. What I love about Dark is it's just another layer to stories, and being the leads come that way. So it's like, you can go as many layers deep with the story, but if you're just watching every Monday or every Wednesday night, it still makes sense. So I like love that about Dark, but I don't really pay attention to the nuances as closely about it as Tony might have been with that.
And I feel like it's hard to have cohesion on a show where you just have 9 or 10 or God, 11, 12, however many matches they have. I feel like they're putting it out there, and it's great that they do. They're just putting it out there for you to watch it. Like, again, that sounds so dumb, but like, it's just like that's what it's there for. I don't think there's any real storyline progression, because how could you have story? I mean, there might be some. I'm not saying there's not at all, but I mean, how could you have storyline? How could you have like progression? Granted, they might show stuff from Dark on Dynamite, but like, it's the local talent that comes in. It's guys beating them. With that being said, this Tuesday on Dark, I saw the triple threat tag team match they have scheduled. It's Private Party versus Santana and Ortiz versus, I think, SCU?
Yeah, it's SCU. I have the two competitors here. Oh, it's Daniels and Kazarian.
I mean, that's like a main event of Dynamite to me. So like, that's cool that they do flip in and they put their main guys on the show, so it's not a throwaway. To me, it's just hard to have cohesion when it's just a match fest.
Yeah, but they had some like building stuff. I mean, they had the whole thing with Ricky Starks joining up with you know, the fake champion. We had who else was on there? Yeah, Darby Allin came out. He had a match. The Butcher and the Blade, Brandon Cutler and Peter Avalon. But the one woman I couldn't remember, her name was Rashe Chanel.
Ah.
Oh yeah. That's why you said Gucci. Chanel. Got it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like, I don't know. She was kind of weird. Like when she got serious, it was cool. But when she was doing the whole hair thing, I'm like, Sheeta deserves better than this. Come on. It kind of bugged me a little bit.
Kind of not, right, though? Because it's like, it's basically a squash, and it's to juice up the records and almost to not advance storyline. So, like, I get it, but I think that's more, you know, the women's division is clearly their weakest point, though getting better. But, like, I think that's, like, it's kind of like, it's Dark because it's kind of like a bunch of Dark matches, I think. Like, I think it's more of a testing ground than meant to, like, entertain me to the highest extent. You know what I mean?
So
I agree with that 100%, except for the fact that they still put their top guys on the show.
Yeah. Well, they still want you to watch. But I think part of the reason it might have felt choppy to you last week, Tony, is because the card was just so stacked. I think it could have used a little bit of breathing room.
Well, Kate,
and a couple
things in your wheelhouse. First of all, Brian Cage, when he was fucking lifting up and powerbombing Darby Allin, I literally feared for Darby Allin's life because that fucking second powerbomb was sloppy as shit. Like, it seemed like he just jacked him up just to drop him.
Life just by Darby Allin living his life.
No, look, I get that. But, I mean, when he's doing the coffin drops and the dives and all that shit, like, that's on him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Brian Cage is just lifting him with reckless abandon. I was kind of like, ugh. That's what I get afraid of. If somebody's going to start getting sloppy with somebody else, that's when I start to get nervous.
like it extra sloppy.
The other thing was...
I made it extra sloppy for you.
The women's division is getting a tag team tournament. I figured that would be right up your alley.
I love that. I'll tell you why I love it. Because they're not going to, at least for now, it doesn't seem like they're going to go with a full-fledged tag team division. So it's just like, let's have this one-off. We're not going to get over our head like WWE did. And while granted, there were a lot of great tag teams, the tag team titles have been what? Nothing. So I don't want them to do that. So just to have this moment where it's a one-off, but it's a big deal, that's cool with me. That is 100% cool by me. Make it a cup. Bring in the awesome indie talent from around the country and around the world. We saw that the women's division with Ivelisse and Diamante wrestling each other. The fact that they could possibly be a team would be incredible to me. So
that would be good because their gear is the fucking same, and you know I have a pet peeve about that. Hey, your opponent.
I agree with you.
Thank you. Nobody on Wednesday nights agrees with me. Here's the only reason I don't like it. And I agree it's such a good idea not to have it be a full-fledged division. There's no belts involved. So I do like that. And I do think it can showcase some talent. My nervousness with it is I feel like with the women's division, they just were running before they could walk. And that's been a huge problem over the past year. And it feels to me like, once again, we're just starting to get into the good stuff. Like, we're just starting to see Penelope Ford has grown tremendously, it looks like. She is starting to hold her own. Like, some of the talent is still... They did just say it's happening sometime this summer, I think. But, like, Chris is still on the shelf. Britt is still on the shelf. Like, I just don't like doing this when I feel like they still have such a far way to go. And let me tell you, you watch Impact, you watch NXT, and even the main roster on Raw and SmackDown, it's the women that are kind of carrying it right now.
Amazing. Amazing. 100%. So, 100%.
It's like, even though they're coming along incrementally, they're still so far behind everybody else. So it makes me nervous, but I do agree. It could be a good way to showcase some talent. And I'm very glad that it's not four belts of any sort.
And I feel like as long as AEW has been around, and again, it hasn't been around long. So a lot of these things that they're doing to me seem like, all right, let's give this a shot and see how it works.
So do it on Dark. That's the point of Dark. You know what I mean?
Maybe they will. Who knows?
Mabes.
I mean, it's a tournament. So, I mean, obviously, you got to figure some matches are going to be on Dark.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm glad they're not having a fake belt or a pretend belt for it. I'm glad it's just going to be a tournament.
And I don't
want fake belts on my show.
I didn't mean to dismiss the fact that they're just trying this to try it to see if it works. That's dismissive towards the idea or the concept. It's just like, hey, listen, what can we do? Like, listen, there's been tournaments. Everyone's done tournaments. You had, like, the Cruiserweight Classic. You had, you know, the Mae Young Classic. You had, even going back, Crockett Cup. There's tournaments. There's stuff that happens. So if you want to try this and see if it works, and, hey, if you could pick out – and you said that the women's division has not been great. But if you can pick out a few of this out of this tournament to make your division better – maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe that's in the back of somebody's mind where, hey, listen, let's find these people and see who works, and then we can fortify our women's division.
Here's what it is in a nutshell.
All right, Tony.
Everything Brandy's touched to this point has been dog shit. What was that thing that she was in with Dr. Luther? The Midnight
Hair. Yeah. Which is the only thing that she's touched, really, so far.
No. You've got the tote bag to prove otherwise, Kate.
Oh, my God.
That fucking heels thing. That'll
take up the rest of the episode, so let's not go down that fucking rabbit hole.
No, but listen, long story short, when all the speaking out stuff happened, you didn't hear one thing about any of them from there, and I completely agree with your thoughts on that 100%. I feel like I'm just like, you know, just sticking up for everything that you've been saying and agreeing with you, but you made some good points. But here, so she winds up teaming up with Allie because Allie's getting involved with QT Marshall, and, you know, she's kind of sneaking into the family and nobody trusts her. So it's like, well, Brandy's in the family, so, like, let's put them together and let's let them be like people who don't get along, but they keep winning matches. So now they've got a few matches under their belt that they've won, and Brandy's been the drizzling shits in the ring since the fucking beginning of AEW anyway. But in a tag match, you can hide a lot of that. So it's like, hey, let's keep letting Brandy look really, really good and put her in tag matches where she won't look that bad. And what? So, Hell's Bells. What if the team that got thrown together on a whim who can't stand each other win the whole tournament? Then Brandy's this awesome women's wrestler. Yay!
Oh, you conspiracy theorist.
It's the truth, brother. What other...
Tony, here's the thing, Tony.
What?
You're probably right.
See?
That's probably what's going to happen.
That's exactly what it is. And look, Cody's on Twitter going like, oh, baby, I'm so proud of you. This is so wonderful. This is so great. Oh, you're an inspiration, and you're my doll, and you're my woman, and blah, blah, blah. Come on. Get off of this shit.
And hey, listen, if that's the case, if that's what this is all leading up to, it's at least a story. It might not be what we think, but at least it's something, right? Like,
look,
are you putting them in your no faith WWE department?
No. I mean, look, if you look at it logically, they're doing nothing different than what every promoter tries to do. You get somebody who has a few good points and a few bad points, and you hide the bad points and you make the good points look good. And Allie's not a terrible wrestler. And if you know, if you've got them doing the hot tag thing and they do a couple double teams that they can handle, hey, maybe they could have a run, and good for them. And it fits the story. But my thing is, it's like, come on, dude. Don't make this seem like it's just some big fucking harangue. Like all of a sudden, you know, Brandy's like the greatest thing in wrestling. She's not. She's not.
She's not.
I think they're going to get to the finals and one of them's going to turn on each other. But like, even with this angle, the thing that bugs me about that is I'm like, oh, so you have this weird frenemy thing, which to me, and you can argue about Charlotte and Becky and Bayley and whatever the hell all you want. The Women's Revolution to me started when AJ Lee and Paige were frenemies. And that was when women's wrestling was the first like washable thing in a really, really long time. And it reminds me of that angle, but neither of them, Allie's good, but like Paige and AJ were great, and it feels very similar to that. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's where the tournament's going. And I think it could be something that's really good. And I think maybe it's not going that direction. I think maybe they're going to be signing some women's talent that's actually going to win this thing or come in. Like maybe Tessa is coming in or whatever. Like maybe someone is going to come out and stand out. But I think it could be something that's really great. It just makes me nervous that it won't be because they just haven't like earned my trust in that one area yet, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it could either be like 100% right that it's either going to be it all depends on what their intention of the payoff is. Is the intention of the payoff to further a story between Allie and Brandy, which to Brandy's credit, she left WWE because she wanted to wrestle. Does that necessarily make her the best wrestler in the world? No. Does it make her even good? Probably not. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of her work since WWE to make a distinction one way or the other. So it's whether or not you think this whole cup thing is to legitimately showcase women's tag team wrestling and bring in talent, or is it just to pay off a story with Brandy and Allie?
I'm telling you.
Either way, I mean, if wrestling is all about stories. So if that's the case, all right. But like, don't hide it under the guise of the showcasing the woman talent.
If I had a guess, it's probably about 65% Allie and Brandy, and 35% let's bring in some women to shore up this division, because they're heading in the right direction, but they do need to bring in some more star power if they even want to sniff doing something with women as tag teams as a serious thing.
And you can do both. There's no
you can. But they got a ways to go to get there.
But I'm saying like the tournament, like you can do both. You can showcase the greatest talent in the world to have the payoff that you have. Now, maybe you have like the Diamante and Ivelisse defeat Brandy and Allie because one turns on each other. And then you still have Diamante and Ivelisse now who, listen, if you don't know who either one of them are, and if you're listening to this podcast, you clearly do. Then you're just not paying. Like, they're good. Like, they're really, really, like, really, really talented women. So,
And, like, Faye Jackson was in the front row a couple weeks ago in the crowd. Like, I think they might be setting this up to bring in other talent to solidify that division. So, I don't think it's 65-35. I think maybe you're looking at, like, 50-50. But I think in some high-profile spot in the tournament, the two of them are gonna split rather than take the cake.
And I'll always lean towards like the, not the wrong thing, but like because it's wrestling, you know what I'm saying? So like, so whenever you expect them to do the right thing, that never really happens. So I will, 50-50 is generous on your part.
It is.
I would love for it to be 50-50, but just because it's wrestling, and maybe we're accustomed to this Vince McMahon world where just when you think he's going to do the right thing, he doesn't. So I don't, and again, like I said, you could do both. I'd say, like Tony, I'd say it's probably 65-35.
Okay. The only reason mine are so favorable is, so far watching, I feel like AEW has paid it off really well, with the exception of who we were just talking about, Brian Cage. Like, anytime we get to one of these pay-per-views, I feel like I am getting everything that was supposed to play out played out in some way that's usually interesting and oftentimes not super predictable, and with a clean finish and not a dumb disqualification bullshit, but that's another story. So that's why my odds are so favorable on it. But I'm also not excited about the idea from the beginning. So what do you want from me?
I'm always excited about people trying something new. And while women's tag team wrestling is not new, this tournament aspect, I don't think we've ever, I can't think of off the top of my head, Tony, of a women's tag team cup. I mean, you had the Mae Young Classic, which was awesome. I don't think I've ever seen a tag team cup, like a tournament type dealy.
Well, the tournament, I mean, they had the tournament for the belts in WWE, but other than that, I mean, that's to crown the new champs. But no,
segue for you. Know who does tournaments really well and had an unexpected payoff that I didn't like initially is New Japan. I was not like in on this evil thing, and now I'm so in on this evil thing.
Fuck evil. He's evil. He's a rotten son of a bitch, and he's got Dick to go with him now.
I loved it. I thought it was going to be Sonata, though. So
that's what I mean. Like, that was a payoff where I wasn't like initially super. I think because that match was just, it felt too long to me. But I was like kind of intrigued by the outcome, and now as it's played out further, like the match that they had on Saturday night was awesome. Like, it was so good, and everything.
All right, Matt is here because she watched New Japan. I watched New Japan on a not pay-per-view show. All right.
I love New Japan. But, like, and this is why, actually, like, what we're talking about that I fear will be missing with AEW on the women's side, like, New Japan just consistently does. Like, there's just, like, I'm going to give you A, and then B, C, D, E, F, and G are going to happen because of it, and you're not going to see half of those letters coming. Like, it's just such a cool dynamic they got over there. So I hope that's what we get out of this women's tag thing. I hope it's really cool and unexpected, and there's payoffs that I don't anticipate coming.
We don't know how many teams there actually are, do we?
Yeah, 8 teams. 16. Oh, 18.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You know, that's perfect.
It's not, yeah, it's not like a...
Yeah.
64 elite teams.
Eight. Elite 8. Not a sweet 16.
Yeah, so you're not going nuts. You're not bringing in, you're not filling 32 teams or NCAA type 64 teams. 8 is perfect. You're going to find, they probably already know who they want anyway. So it's not like, if they're bringing these people, all right, yeah, never mind. I retract like everything I said from before.
At first,
I thought it was like a 32 team thing. So like, if like 6 or 7 out of 32. They know who they want. They have people on the radar already.
I hear they're bringing in the Jumping Bomb Angels. They're bringing in the Crush Girls. They're bringing in the Glamour Girls.
Leilani Kai.
Aja Kong's going to be in there somewhere, but I don't know who her partner is. She's probably just going to go in.
Have you seen Aja Kong lately?
Yes. Yes. What a difference, huh?
Just say that without being...
Wait,
crazy.
Are you thinking of Aja Kong or are you thinking of Bull Nakano?
Bull Nakano.
That's the one you're thinking of. I was like, wait, Aja Kong? I don't know what Aja Kong looks like these days.
She might be dead. Is she dead?
I don't know. You want me to Google this now?
I'll Google it right now.
All right, cool. Yeah, while you were doing that, I just want to touch on a couple of things that are coming up Wednesday for Dynamite. Moxley and Allen are teaming up to take on Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. So we got a real champ against a phony champ. And it's a tornado match. Let me see. 10-man tag. Best Friends, Orange Cassidy, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy taking on the Inner Circle with a returning Sammy Guevara joining the Inner Circle, of course. Fuck that. The big, oh, here. Great. Wonderful. The number one tag team, the Dark Order, is finally getting a title shot against Omega and Paige. Whoop-de-doo. I hate the Dark Order. The Dark Order's okay. I hate Stu Grayson and Evil Uno. I just don't like them. I hate them. But that's not the big news. The big news, the challenge has been answered. The War Horse is going to be challenging Cody for the TNT Championship.
Everyone listening, every single person, you have to go buy War Horses. Tell your baby dork-ass friends to watch Wrestling T-Shirt on ProWrestlingTees.com. It's the best T-shirt ever.
All right, Aja Kong is alive.
How old is she?
49.
Oh, okay. What's she look like?
She looks like Aja Kong.
Oh. Aja Google. And
it's Wikipedia, man. They put the picture of her from, like, who knows when.
When she was in her prime?
Oh, wait. She started with AEW.
Aja Kong was... No, that's Awesome Kong.
No, Aja Kong was there, too.
Wait.
Double or Nothing or one of those. She was
there. She was in some Battle Royal shit, wasn't she?
She had, like, a match. She actually had a match with somebody.
Wow.
It was one of the shows. Who did she fight? She was there when, like, AEW, like, first started.
It's not...
She's announced at the press conference.
Here, she teamed with Emi Sakura and Yuka Sakazaki. They lost to Shida, Riho, and Ryo Mizunami. I seem to remember that match.
But when they did, like, the whole, like, promos, like, of who's coming in, Aja Kong was one of the people.
Yeah, she was definitely there back at the May 25th, 2019. Was that an important show? Yeah, probably.
I think it was like the first pay-per-view, wasn't it?
I want to say yes.
Yeah, if it was May, that would have been the first. I always get All In and All Out confused because they
switched. Yeah, it was one of those.
Look at that. Kevin with the memory. I like it.
No. Killing it.
Pew, 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 pew.
Finger guns.
So,
Ricochet's entrance.
In more ways than one. So, what do we think of? What do we think of Warhorse's chances here against Cody? You think this is the week that Cody goes full heel?
Sure, Tony.
For real?
Oh no! I thought you were going to say something else. I thought you were going to say, "Is this the week that Cody loses?"
It could be.
All I know is Four Horse rules ass. That's all I know.
There you go.
I love that Cody tweeted his name in all lowercase letters as like a slight to him because he always types in all caps, which I thought was awesome. He put Workhorse versus Warhorse in all lowercase letters. He's definitely turning heel. I don't think he's going to go full heel against Warhorse. I think this is a slower burn, but I'm so excited.
I guess I got to follow Warhorse on Twitter, huh? Is he a good follow?
Oh, he's very, very funny. He was doing during COVID too, like these little vignettes where he was hosting his own radio show, but it was like a smooth jazz situation.
That's hilarious.
He'd be doing like his like War Horse angry voice and then be like, tune in to 102.7, blah, blah, blah. It was great. Good stuff.
Oh God. All right. So Kevin mentioned the triple threat match. We're getting Brandon Cutler and Peter Avalon against FTR.
I like
that's
it.
What we call a squash, I think.
Yeah, they're going to get their asses beat.
Not to get too advanced with my wrestling jargon, but I'm pretty sure that's called a squash match.
Oh, wait, no, that's going to be on Dark. I'm sorry, that's not going to be.
I was going to say, that's got to be on Dark.
So here's an interesting one, too, that's coming up. Sean Dean, Will Hobbs, and Michael Nakazawa and Pineapple. Oh, wait, no, that's here. So the Dark Order's taking on Sean Dean and Will Hobbs. Here's the one I'm interested in. Michael Nakazawa and Pineapple Pete versus Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela. What the fuck?
Some of those are the best. I'm not a Michael Nakazawa gal. Like, it's very one note to me. I love a good Pineapple Pete.
You know,
and I love...
You know what's going to happen.
That romance tag team.
We're going to get Michael Nakazawa. He's going to oil up Sonny Kiss's ass, and that's going to lead to the ending of the match. That's exactly what's going to happen. I'm calling it now.
No.
That's what's going to happen. You know, I don't want to plug Jim Cornette, but I did listen to his recap of Sonny Kiss versus Cody. And the one thing that I will mention, which I thought was kind of funny, he thought because Sonny Kiss's ass was so big that he had scoliosis.
Of course he did.
He goes, what's wrong with him? He's got fucking scoliosis. What the fuck?
Extra scoliosis. Extra scoli.
Extra scoli.
God damn, don't give me the osis without the extra scoli. Double
scoli, motherfucker.
Double scoli, double cheese, motherfucker.
Double scoli, bitches.
I don't know.
God. Jim Cornette. I'm homophobic, and I think he has scoliosis. Go fuck yourself. Like, get the fuck out of
God town. Don't you dare talk about my osis.
Go fuck my wife while I watch. God damn. Jim Cornette.
Hey, Joey Janela, my wife's in the hot tub. God damn. I feel like I need to start doing a Taz impression to make this night complete.
Do it.
Brother, you getting in the hot tub with Cornette's wife, brother. You don't know where she's been, brother.
This is a night gimmick, so I don't want to hear it.
Oh, God.
I love a good Taz impression. I don't care where.
You mentioned... You mentioned New Japan some point in the show. I don't remember. Was there anything exciting that you saw from what you saw? I guess I don't know. I don't even know what the show was called. You know how hard it is to keep up. It's like New Japan just has shows at like random times. Like, hey, Tuesday at 5 a.m. There's more New Japan.
I mean, it really, yeah, it kind of is. But the main event was fantastic. But all I saw from the Saturday night flash, like it, you said, the Sunday morning ish show.
Was it Evil and Naito?
Yes. Okay. And it was Tuesday
Naito.
Oh, good. Good God, man.
Evil does a lot better in shorter matches, is what I think. Like that match that went 25 minutes at the Cup, I think was just like a little too long. I think it might have even been like a full half hour, but this was a little shorter and just like, he's so good. He's just, I like always liked him, but I love the way that New Japan makes stars. Like, I'm such a mark for it. So, and it feels like a really natural split. Like, I feel like the LIJ family is kind of better without him, and he's better without the LIJ family, and the Bullet Club is stranded all over the world right now. So why not? But really all I saw was the main event. I'm going to go back and watch the rest of it, but really good stuff. Idiot. And a couple of exciting cards coming up as usual over there.
The two guys that I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot. Takahashi, I think he's got a huge future ahead of him. I don't think that the heavyweight titles are out of his grasp with him being a junior heavyweight right now. The other guy that I'm a huge mark for is Sho. That's my boy from Roppongi Bongi, a tag team that I drafted, by the way, just a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, like.
Yeah. He killed it. He's killing it lately. Like, I think he had the best showing.
Oh, God.
Huge break.
That
is
a Kevin level pun. I know.
That was up there. That was up there.
That is, like, right in your fucking wheelhouse. Don't you dare.
Nope. That, my wheelhouse just drove over.
He looked awesome. Kev,
that was knocking at the door.
I think he's starting to break out a little bit, too. I'm excited about that.
All right, cool. I guess I'm going to have to watch some New Japan myself. And you know what? We got some games to play. I don't know if we have any other. Oh, and we got more news and notes to cover, including Nick Aldis going back at Bruce Pritchard. I don't know if you guys saw that one, but that's something else I want to talk about. But, Kevin, what do we always say around this time?
The former Curt Hawkins made his impact. Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Time. Like tears In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite. Where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot. Where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety. There is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
We're coming back and we're rocking with you. It's Scotty Too Hotty and the crew. And while we're rocking it out, we want to tell you all how you can support the Shining Wizards for as little as $1. That's right, $1, one buccarino, one single dollarini. Go over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And like I said, for $1, you can be a Patreon supporter. You get a plug each and every week as one of our producers. But that's not all. No, no, no. You also get the exclusive 10% off discount coupon code to use for our merchandise over at our Pro Wrestling Tees shop, ProWrestlingTees/ShiningWizards. But that's not all. You kick it up to $3 each and every month. You get a brand new watch along that we provide to you as part of your membership. You go more than that, you go $5. For $5 a month, you get the watch alongs, you get the discount code, you get the plug every week, and we will plug your shit. You got shit for us to plug, we will plug it for you. You kick it up a notch from there, $10, $20 a month. Every 3 months, you get a box of wizardry, a Matt Cullen wrestling shit, memorabilia, good stuff from all over the place. Yeah, you'll get some shit, you'll get some good stuff. It's up to you. What do you think you're going to get? Join us on Patreon and find out. It's going to be awesome. And we are getting a bit of an echo. I don't know why that is. I'm going to check out everything real quick. But as I'm talking about that, yes, I know, echo. Jeez. I have 5,000 things open here. Maybe if I just lower the music. Let me see. Yeah, let me cut the music. Maybe that's what it was. I think it was the music. I think we're better now. Anyway, so let me do the plugs without the music. And we want to support. We want to show love to everybody that supports us over on Patreon. Our Patreon producer roll call. We're starting with Kathy Hummer, the Queen of the Wizards. Manny Crozzo, the King of the Wizards. We're starting with Danny and Anthony Russinello, the AOP of the SWP. We're talking about Ryan Arthur from Elementary.com, the Elementary Brewing Company. You're in Hackensack, New Jersey. You're in North Jersey. You're going to yourself, wonder where I can get myself some cool alcoholic refreshments from. Ryan Arthur will hook your ass up. Go on over to alimentary.com. He would let you know where you could buy your shit. Hell, go over to Hackensack and go buy the shit in person. Say hi to Ryan. Tell him the wizard sent you. He's a good dude. He'll take care of you. The Shawns, Sean Toe and Sean Coelho, they're across the friggin' world from each other, and they're bonded by the Shining Wizards. You know why? Because they both support us. Brett Simonello, what do you hear? What do you say? Matt Garifo, no relation to the KJG. Matt Mellinger, definitely no relation to the KJG. Mark Parolini, celebrating his birthday for the 17th week in a row. Happy birthday, Mark. Kenny Hawsey, the one and only Scotch Drinkmore. Jay Kopp from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Big Kopp of Pump. The Mott Spock himself, Mr. Thomas Copps. Yes, I said Mott Spock, Matt. I got it right. Michael Hammond, my man Mikey, celebrating, and I don't know, every day with us, celebrating every day he doesn't have the COVID. Congratulations, Michael. Henry David Bauer III, don't forget about his man, Antonio Hosserman. He does experimental music over at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, welcome him along. TJ Vegas, welcome him. And I don't know where Kate is because I don't see her on the camera, but the one and only Kate the Great Hensler over at On Deck IC. You got shit you need to plug. You got shit you need sold. You need music to sell that shit. You need anything to sell that shit. Kate, your lady. I say, hey, Kate, I got this piece of shit that I want you to sell. You know what Kate says? Tony, I'm going to sell the shit out of that shit. I didn't even know that was a thing, but apparently you could sell the shit out of shit. Go over to ondeckic.com. Kate, your lady. She's going to hook your ass up. And last.
She'll sell you Matt's shit.
Oh, poor Maddie.
And definitely not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
We do know what you mean. Join us over at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Like I said, a little is $1. And don't forget, we also have our Pro Wrestling Tees page, prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. We got great designs. We got a couple of designs in the hopper, but we don't know what the fuck we're doing yet. But look forward to those. No, I ain't putting anybody on the spot. I'm just saying, keep an eye out for them because they'll be coming. Next time there's a big sale over there, you could stock up on wizard shit. You don't even need a sale. Become a Patreon supporter for $1. You get the exclusive discount code, and you're good to go. I don't know what else I need to plug at this point. I guess Wizards at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, at Wizards Podcast on Facebook, at Wizards Podcast on Instagram. Am I missing anything? I don't know.
The Discord,
that's right. Join us on the Discord. If you go on over to Facebook or Instagram or wherever you find us on social media, Kevin's giving me the go-home signal. Join the Discord. It's a lot of fun. We keep everybody accountable, even though there's a lot of people that need to be accounted for in the DDP yoga group. Not seeing a lot of posts from people anymore, but it's okay.
Uh-oh, what's that? What's going on, T-Dog?
I'm just putting it out there. I'm a little disappointed that my crew's not crewing around with me as much, but...
I'm coming back.
Good to hear.
Was killing it. He's literally on vacation in Lavalette and still doing yoga, and I'm like, I'm busy, so... I'm coming back. Matt's going to come back when he's done pooping himself. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine him in Down Dog just shitting all over his yoga mat?
God, poor Matt.
Poor Matt.
You got to start writing some new scripts, Dr. Dunk.
Who, me? That was off the top, brother.
Got to start getting these people in shape. Do teleconferences or whatever they call them. Teleappointments.
Hey, If these guys were all down to do it, I would completely and wonderfully and happily do a live Zoom DDP workout for everybody in the Discord. That would be awesome. I would totally do that.
Do you want me to make a call to DDP and get you on the payroll? Or?
Yo, get my man Garrett on the phone. Garrett's the guy you want to talk to.
Okay. All right.
If you just tell your iPhone 5S that you want to talk to Garrett, it'll know which one.
I don't know.
Wait. What was the precursor to Siri? Did you have anything on that phone that you could talk to? Was it like Jimmy or something?
Who, me?
Yeah, who, you? Yeah, you with the 5S.
I think Siri was always here, right?
Do you have Siri? Tell me you have Siri on that phone.
Hey, Siri. Tell me I have Siri on this phone. Hold on. Wait for it. That might be beyond my abilities at the moment.
So she was there. She's just not exactly killing it.
She fucking likes
Luigi,
bro.
My series like a magic eight ball.
Outlook cloudy.
Yeah. Siri, where did the New York Yankees play?
In COVID.
Ask again later.
Probably yes.
Probably yes.
I don't know about you guys, but I think it's getting significantly hotter outside. This basement's becoming sweltering, and it's usually freezing down here.
Yeah, no, it's gross out.
It's fucking Siri, really gross.
Did Brian Pillman Jr. enjoy our interview with him today? Highly doubtful.
God damn.
Extra osis.
God damn.
Extra slowly.
Extra homophobia, motherfucker.
God damn. Put it in my wife's ass. Hey, am I still coming across with an echo, or is everything cool now?
I think you're good.
Okay, no. Just want to make sure, because I'm kind of doing everything on this end. It gets to be a pain in the ass when one thing goes wrong. You have to check six different things to see exactly what it is. So anyway, Bruce Pritchard was covering his stint in TNA / Impact Wrestling recently on his Something to Wrestle podcast, and didn't have too many kind things to say about Nick Aldis, saying that Nick Aldis had the look and the ability, but didn't have the it factor. And he actually mentioned that it seemed like Nick Aldis was playing pro wrestler as opposed to being a pro wrestler. Well, Nick Aldis didn't take too kindly to this, and he put out some interesting shit on Twitter to rebut Bruce. And he also was on Busted Open earlier today with our good friend Dave LaGreca, and he was talking about it and pretty much raked Bruce over the coals, telling him that the ratings for Raw have been shit, and if he was paying attention, he would have known what was going on in Impact, and kind of handed Bruce Pritchard his ass. Are you guys familiar with the situation and what happened?
I didn't know about Busted Open, but I knew about Bruce Pritchard's comments and the Twitter stuff.
So what's your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. I listened to the podcast where I think what you guys are talking about. He wasn't like vindictive. He wasn't like attacking Aldis at all. He just said, like he says about a lot of people, that in his opinion, he just, at the time that he was in TNA, he just didn't have that extra thing. And at that time, I think Bruce Pritchard was 100% accurate. Now, I don't know if he said anything like right now, Nick Aldis doesn't have anything, because that would be untrue in my opinion. But at the time, Bruce wasn't vindictive. He wasn't callous. He just said that Aldis was just missing something. And that's not a slight, and also that's only one guy's opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's going to say you're playing pro wrestler, I feel like that's a shitty thing to say about someone. I don't think it's a ludicrous criticism, but I think it's fair to respond to it, and I also think it's fair to say that Raw has been dog shit lately, because it has.
No, and that's fair. The playing pro wrestler thing...
That's mean.
It's mean when it's not warranted, and we're going back to a time. I think this was, if it's the podcast I remember, it was. I think it was a pay-per-view, maybe in 2017, maybe earlier. It may be going back as far as 2010, for all I know. But I remember listening to it, and it's not out of line. Aldis didn't have. Like, I never thought of Nick Aldis as a star the way he was booked in TNA, part of the British Invasion, part of this and that. And then Global Force came around and. Kind of helped him, I guess, but not to the extent that it made me feel like he was a superstar. What made me feel like a superstar was NWA.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and to be honest with you, I really didn't follow that much of his career as Magnus in Impact. So, I mean, I really couldn't comment. It just seemed like a real dick thing to say, like playing wrestler. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he says it all the time. About a lot of people. No, it's listen, the guy is the most, other than Vince McMahon, the guy's the most powerful guy in professional wrestling, and he has been for God 30 years, for lack of a better thing. So as much as we might want to doubt his opinion now, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that he might be onto something. Like Magnus was also, he was booked in like Fortune with those guys, where like there are already four guys, but oh, let's put Magnus in there too. Like, he just wasn't booked well, and it just wasn't. I never saw Magnus as a main event guy until he won the 10 pounds of gold.
That's fair, but then he was, right? So like that potential was there. I guess I think it's a shitty way to say it. And I think right now Bruce Pritchard is playing executive producer because the show sucks. So there's that. But like, I don't think anything that was said was out of line. Like, yeah. I don't think it's a cruel observation, and I don't think it's out of line for Nick Aldis to respond to that criticism either. Like, it just seems like
100%
like sorority drama, to be honest.
Tony, what did Nick Aldis say in response again?
Well, the one thing that was telling when Nick responded was that, you know, Conrad likes to put out little portions of the podcast on YouTube, you know, just to check in. Yeah. And to be fair,
Conrad did disagree with Bruce.
Yeah, yeah. The whole It Factor thing, like that whole segment, like the video is marked private now, so you can't even go back to it. But I think somebody else may have recorded it and posted it up somewhere. This was Nick's response on Twitter. Your ignorant comments about me had me at an all-time low, kind of like your Raw ratings. However, there are a few Hall of Famers that seem to have a different opinion, some of which are even featured below. And then there's like a two and a half minute little video of him talking about the championship, and you know, you see a bunch of like meet and greets with like other wrestlers and his appearances on Power and in Ring of Honor and all that. I don't agree with the way he said it. I do think that Nick Aldis right now is a huge step up from where Magnus was. I do agree with that sentiment, but I don't know, man. I think it was kind of a dick thing to say, and I do agree with you, Kevin. That's the way Bruce Pritchard is. That's the way he talks, and that's the way he comes across. There's a whole bunch more that he did say. So if you want to check it out, it's over on the Busted Open YouTube channel. But he did have a quote here that he posted from Admiral William McRaven. Quote, if a shark begins to circle your position, stand your ground. Do not swim away. Do not act afraid. And if the shark, hungry for a midnight snack, darts toward you, then summon up all your strength and punch him in the snout. And he also did say, when he was being interviewed by Dave, was that, you know, you put him in a position where he's got a young son and he has to look his son in the eye and tell his kid, you know, always stand up for yourself, always defend yourself. He's like, well, now I'm coming back at you and I have to defend myself.
He's being over dramatic. And I love Nick Aldis. And I think if Nick Aldis showed up on AEW or Raw or SmackDown or NXT, he would be a megastar. He's being overdramatic to the comments that Bruce said on the podcast. If it's the comments that I remember listening to, he may have said something else that I don't even know about, but he was complimentary towards Magnus or towards Nick Aldis. He just said he just didn't have it in Bruce Pritchard's opinion. And that carries a lot of weight.
Here you go. Here's the quote from Busted Open. I know we're taking a lot. I don't want to sit here reading all this and that, but let me see. He's full of shit is the reality. Honestly, what he did was he just exposed the fact that he hadn't been paying attention to anything that's been going on. When he was running TNA, he wasn't paying attention. He was asleep. Reality is he took a shot and tried to give some half-baked reason as to why he decided to say it and whatnot. He said he was going to address it, did not, let it breathe. Now he's getting a receipt. Well, he's not getting a receipt. He's getting a fucking invoice is what he's getting. There's plenty of Hall of Famers who have a different opinion. He likes to float things out that are subjective and just sort of present them as fact.
But to Bruce's, to play devil's advocate on Bruce's side again, is that Bruce wasn't in charge of anything. He wasn't in the booking. He wasn't one that was booking Magnus. He had nothing to do with that, at least according to him.
That whole thing just sounds like there's more venom than what happened in that incident. To me, like, that just reads as like, maybe he made these comments, but like there's like a history there or something, because that just seems like a lot of
maybe
just like a lot more heat than is coming from that comment. But
yeah. And again, Nick Aldis is an amazing I would love to see him on my TV every week, and that's a shame as to why like NWA is not a thing. It deprives me of seeing Nick Aldis.
And if you're listening out there and you are not familiar with Nick Aldis's work, I implore you to go back and check out his match with Tim Storm. I implore you to go back and check out his two matches with Cody Rhodes, because those were amazing.
I implore you to go check out his six-hour interview with us here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Hey, man, I will have him on for another 6 hours. Nick Aldis was awesome to talk to. He was a hell of a main event guest for Matt's birthday party.
Tony, I make jokes, Tony.
I know you make jokes.
In other media feuds, can we also talk about this Adam Cole, Pat McAfee thing? Because I think it's hilarious that it's a work, and there's a bunch of people on Twitter being like, wrestling's fake, and this guy's taking things so seriously, and it's so clearly a work, and they're getting worked, and they don't even know it.
Yeah,
Kate, I did not give this a second of my time. Not even, I didn't click the link. I didn't watch. I don't care. This is not worth anybody's time to watch, let alone comment about. It is so dumb. Tony?
I watched it. Pat McAfee should go back to like cleaning viruses from computers because his acting skills are the shits. Terrible. It was fucking terrible.
The whole thing was stupid, but it was just funny to see people who have no idea what's happening in wrestling be like, this is so stupid. And I wanted to be like, you're so dumb. Like, you can't tell that this is a fake thing.
Tony, what you should have done to tie that all together, you should have said, Pat McAfee should have gone back to cleaning viruses on computers because this whole thing is making me sick.
Oh, sorry. I'm not the pun master.
His acting skills are making me sick. Virus.
Maybe that virus is COVID. Maybe this is much more full circle than we even thought.
Yeah, maybe it was convenient that I didn't mention the
virus. There he is. There's
my man. It's so good.
There's my man.
Is this true? He's got it. Matt gave me a note here that the last 5 minutes of the Young Bucks versus the Butcher and the Blade match did over 1 million viewers.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is. Some people are wondering if they're going to hit 1 million with Warhorse being announced, if they're going to get more people tuning in ski for that. I think they'll fall short of it, but they got real, real close.
Now, is that the whole quarter hour or is just the segment?
I don't know. It says here the last 5 minutes of the match did 1,018,000 views and 502,000 in the 1849 demo. And let me see. It says a few weeks ago, Keith Lee and Adam Cole almost surely hit 1 million at its finish as well, but didn't come close in the 18-49. So I don't know, man. I'm a ratings guy. I don't analyze and fucking watch, but you know, 1 million for a match. That's still some fucking big numbers. That's impressive shit.
It's cool.
It is cool. You know what else is cooler than the other side of the pillow? Kevin's top five.
Oh, baby.
Wait.
If you hear me.
I got to get your intro music. Hold on a second.
I was just going to sing it myself.
Oh.
No, I'm not. Play something, please.
I like it. Kevin's dancing. I love it.
Because I'm drunk.
Kevin's getting his boogie on.
That's a fandango if I ever saw one.
talk about a miscarriage of justice, fandango.
Fandango. All right, Kev, what we got this week for your top five? Let the people in on the topic.
All right, the topic tonight, ladies and gents, is top five announcers, commentators who were wrestlers, but you will remember them more as commentators than wrestlers. So this is kind of crazy. It's a weird little makeshift list I put together. And I'll defend my work with people that are on the list and people who are not on the list. So, and I also have a backup list just in case you guys get this really quick. So top five announcers, commentators that you remember more as commentators than wrestlers. This could be tough because people are going to say that some of them are. All right. Anyway, I'll stop talking.
More as commentators than wrestlers.
Well, Kate, Corey Graves.
Yeah. All right, Kate, you can get off the line now.
Obvious one.
You can go home. He doesn't even enter my mind.
You didn't put him on the list.
Brain.
Oh my god. He's a wrestler who is a commentator. That's way more of a commentator than he was a wrestler. You said you would defend it, not shit on it.
Let me.
I guess you have to hear the rest of them to realize why he's not on the list.
Let me show you how
you
it's done.
Good ones. You I'm just gonna, said once.
I'm gonna start Did with. Can I?
Didn't think about him. Didn't even think about Corey. Actually, you know what? I did think about Corey Graves, but I hate him so much that
you were dreaming dreaming about him. That's what you were doing.
Hey. All right, Tony. You seem like you had a little guess-ky.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the human suplex machine, Taz.
No.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, because Taz was so legendary as a performer in ECW that I think people will still remember him as a wrestler.
I think most people know him as an announcer now.
No, here's the thing. You're on the right track, but in terms of like the logic. But I think Taz, especially with how much WWE still brings up ECW stuff and how relevant Taz is mentioning his career, I think Taz will always be remembered as a wrestler more than an announcer.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Your thoughts, Kate?
This is an out-of-the-box one.
Ooh.
Vince McMahon.
Well, Vince McMahon, all right. I know why you said that, because he did wrestle a couple matches, but he did that after he was an announcer. So, no. Vince McMahon is not a wrestler.
I'm going to go with Gorilla Monsoon.
Dr. Donk, your diagnosis is correct.
Damn it.
Gorilla Monsoon is number one.
Ding, ding, ding.
And that was going to be my next guess.
And people are going to say Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla Monsoon had a great career.
Sure
the whole
did.
Muhammad Ali, a great giant in professional wrestling. But going towards Tony was like, well, people are going to remember Taz now as an announcer. I still think Taz has that longevity as a wrestler, whereas Gorilla Monsoon is... People go to the network. What do you see? You see Gorilla Monsoon as commentary on commentary. So he is number one.
Here's a quick Bruno fact for everyone. While spending time in Puerto Rico, Gorilla Monsoon and Bruno Sammartino traded the WWC North American Championship in a few matches. So there you go.
Hi, KTG. Do you have a guess?
Jesse Ventura.
Great guess. Because you're going right along the line.
Nice.
With number two.
Ah.
Jesse the Body Ventura is number two. Tremendous athlete in the ring, but I feel like his best work, just because his quick wit, his liners, his intelligence, even though I felt that sometimes his intelligence got ahead of him, correcting everyone. Jesse Ventura is number two.
Nice.
Tremendous, tremendous commentator.
Very nice. And yeah, I think his career behind the microphone was at least somewhat, if not significantly longer than his career in the ring. I may be off by a couple of years, but I'm going to go with the other living legend, Mr. Larry Zbyszko.
Dr. Donk, I don't need a second opinion because your opinion is accurate. Number three, you guys are going 1, 2, 3. Larry Zbyszko, number three. Again, great run with Bruno Sammartino, AWA champion, this and that. I just think with the way things are, he'll be remembered as the Nitro guy, the feud with Scott Hall, the everything that he did as a commentator gets him the number three spot.
Fun fact from the Shining Wizards, Ricky Steamboat let us in on the fact that they used to call Larry Zbyszko Granite Man.
That's right. Good call, Tony. That's relevant to this. KTG, anything?
This one's a shot in the dark.
I don't think you guys are going to get the last two.
This is a shot in the dark, but I'm going to say Booker T.
No, Booker T is the worst commentator that there's ever been.
Good. You just had to comment.
Remembered at all for his commentary. I love Booker T. Booker T.
You can be remembered for how bad you are at commentary.
That's a good call. I didn't think of
that. He makes me want to turn off my television. It's memorable, just not for the right reasons.
Booker T is one of my top 10 all-time favorite wrestlers. I cannot stand him on commentary. So no, Booker T did not make the list.
Cuts a hell of a promo, though. This is a shot in the dark. And I think if you were thinking outside the box, you might go for this one. I'm going to say Bobby Heenan.
No, but I like where your head's at.
I figured you might have considered him.
I did consider him. I considered him for a second, and then I realized that once you put like the entire list together, that...
Okay, no, fair enough.
And I will say this, number five might not be remembered for either, now that I think about it.
Wow.
I think number four you're going to have to dig deep in for. And I think, Tony, you'll get it before Kate. But, Kate, I will let you go next.
This probably is wrong, but I'll say JBL.
It is wrong. Ooh. JBL is not on the list.
That's great, a hell of a guess. That is a great guess.
Thank you.
But, you know, longest reigning WWE champion on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's where it gets a little tricky.
Made Eddie Guerrero feuding with Undertaker. I think his career will stand over his commentary. One guy you might not even think of as a wrestler.
Kev.
But Tony, I think, will. I think. I hope.
I don't know.
We're going back a few years. A lot of years, T-Donk.
For one of them or for both of them?
For one of them.
Oh, Lord Alfred Hayes.
Ah, damn it. Did I just... I laid that up for you.
No, yeah. Is that number four?
I feel that completely ruined the entertainment of the game.
Is that number four?
It's number four. Lord Alfred Hayes is number four. A lot of people don't remember him as a heel in the old pro wrestling game, but he was.
Quite a heel, yes.
And he is number four because he was just so good. Commentary, event centers,
and
updates, promotional consideration paid for by the following.
He wasn't the one that I was originally thinking of either, but yeah, I mean, it only made sense. I've got another one, but I'm going to let Kate take another shot.
No, you go, because I don't have anything good.
The only person I could think, and I don't know, you may have, I don't even, you know what? You probably didn't even consider him. I'm going to say it's Steve McMichael.
No, because he was an announcer first.
That's the reason why I was hesitant to put him out there, but I figured I'd take a shot because I really can't think of who number five might be at this point.
All right. I guess, like I said, he might not be remembered for both or for either, but I thought he was a better commentator than he was a wrestler until recently, where I hate on him a lot now, but I think that he did better as a commentator for WWE.
Oh, I know who you fucking picked. I know who it is. Kate, if you want to take a shot at it, I know.
No.
Come on, take another shot. This will be fun. Because I bet you I'm wrong.
Kind of blanking. Because anybody that I can think of is more known for being a wrestler than an announcer.
I know all you're thinking about right now is Chris Jericho.
Jericho, Mick Foley popped into my head because I love Mick on commentary.
Well, there you go. But he's not more known. I mean, it's Mick Foley.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's a dude, so it's not Beth Phoenix.
I thought about Beth Phoenix, but she's a legendary wrestler. No, but she's a legendary wrestler, so she'll always be remembered.
She'll always be, yeah, a wrestler. Yeah. Tony, solve for X. I'm blanking.
Is it Matt Stryker?
Dr. Dunk, Matt Stryker is number five.
Well done, Tony.
He got the hints. He knew it.
Lord Alfred was a pull, though, man. That was pretty fucking
good. I fed that to him. I fed that to him.
Honestly, I wasn't thinking that far back. Had I had more 80s wrestling in my mind, I might have pulled him, but I definitely worked off of what Kevin told me.
Can you do another one real quick?
I will tell you this much, though. When you first said way back, I said there's no way he's pulling Vern or Greg Gagne out of his ass. I was like, there's no way.
I'm surprised you didn't guess Bruno.
No, because Bruno, come on, dude. You're ribbing me, right?
I'm ribbing you, baby.
Yeah, when you said I hate him, I'm like, it's fucking Matt Stryker, really?
I never said I hated him. I said I hated on him.
Well, fair enough.
Same way that I hate on Jesse Ventura, trying to be too smart as opposed to getting the product over.
Column A, column B. do you want to go into your other one or do you want to do mine?
Yeah.
I got some.
Let's do another one real quick. That was fast. All right. This is a completely subjective list. It is. Actually, I wish Matt. All right. No, who cares? My top five favorite. So there's no research. It's just guessing. My top five favorite ECW superstars of all time.
ECW, like the original or
original.
WWE.
No, I would have said extremists.
Your favorites.
Just mine. No one else's. Just my five favorite in order of all time.
See if you guys feel like Matt should be here for this. I feel guilty, but I'll play.
I know Matt would probably get a few, but I feel like Tony might too. I don't know.
Is Matt shitting his brains out? Like maybe he can call in.
I'll let that ride. You want to go to your game?
No. I'll reach out to him. I'll see how he's feeling.
Matt'll probably get them all.
That's his wheelhouse.
And he knows the kind of wrestlers that I like. So.
Aw.
How sweet.
It's like wrestling Tinder.
No, it's not at all.
It's match up with whoever makes your heart pound.
Stupid.
He might be passed out at this point because he hasn't gotten back to me. I don't even think he's been in the hot mic. So get well, Matt.
Fuck it. Let's do it.
All right. Kate, you're up first. I'm going to give you the crack at this one.
Terry Funk.
Nope.
Get out of town.
I'm telling you, this is just my preferences. This has nothing to do with...
There's respect for you, for Terry Funk not being on that list.
He's my... Yeah, but what if he's one of my favorite NWA superstars of all time?
That's touche.
I'm going to say you liked...
If it's going to take forever, we can just go.
No. I'm going to say you liked Shane Douglas.
T-Donk. Dr. Donk. Shane Douglas is the fifth.
All right. We're on the board.
I mean, I feel like it would be egregious for me not to guess Sabu.
No, Sabu is not on the list.
Tommy Dreamer.
Iconic enough, I had to.
No, he's not.
No Tommy Dreamer?
No Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, okay.
Rob Van Dam.
I just deleted Rob Van Dam and replaced him with somebody.
Oh, rude.
Wait, you're changing the list?
You didn't guess him anyway.
Oh. I just did, and I'm offended.
The one reason why I replaced him is because this guy. Oh, yeah, Rob Van Dam could be on the list. He's six. Yes, Rob Van Dam. He's number six. One guy we have a little bit of a history with there, T-Donk.
Mikey Whipwreck.
No.
The other guy?
Who did you guess that was correct?
Shane Douglas.
Taz?
Negativo. Huh?
Jerry Lynn.
T-Donk. The doctor is in. Jerry Lynn comes in at number two.
Whoa, really?
On the list. Oh, yeah. Big Jerry Lynn guy. Big Jerry Lynn. Negativo.
Do you have tag teams on the list?
No tag teams.
Okay.
What? No.
New Jack.
No.
Okay, that would be the only singles guy I would mention from a tag team.
All right, so you got Jerry Lynn and you got Shane Douglas.
I'm trying to think of who else fits those molds.
There you go. That's what I'm going to say. Find that mold. There's only one that really doesn't. Everyone else is a workhorse.
Al Snow?
He would have been there. If this was the top 10 list, Al Snow would have been there.
If you ever want to do Kevin's 6 through 10 list, invite me back on.
You got it.
This is a shot in the dark. C.W. Anderson?
All right, this is over. We're not doing this anymore.
I'm thinking of the mold, dude.
The mold of Shane Douglas and Jerry Lynn, and you think C.W. Anderson?
Yeah, he's the enforcer.
What about Lashley?
Bobby Lashley is number one. Kate the Great. Former ECW champion, the staple of the company since 1992. No, Lashley's not there.
Come on. Raven?
No. Who did we just talk to today? And no, it's not his father, but...
Hennigan?
Who?
John Hennigan?
Who did we talk to today?
Brian Pillman?
And what did we talk about with him? Other than not his father.
His mullet. Who's got a mullet in ECW? JT Smith.
Man, this was a bad idea on my part.
Dudley.
I should have waited for Matt.
Well, you giving up?
I mean, you guys are silly.
Well, who else is there? I don't know. I mean, Paul Varland. Guess.
All right, you got Jerry Lynn,
Brockus,
Shane Douglas,
Mick Foley.
Other person who's a really good worker that worked in ECW.
Mick Foley,
a really good professional wrestler.
Cactus Jack.
Technical wrestler.
Oh, all right. You're going with Dean Malenko?
We mentioned him tonight.
Dean Malenko. Oh, Lance Storm.
Lance Storm is number one.
I said mullet. You poo-pooed the mullet.
Lance Storm didn't have a mullet. He had a rat tail.
Whatever. It's a Canadian fucking tuxedo.
He said he gave him the mullet.
Dude, the rat tail's the
Canadian. Lance Storm is number one.
Look at Rhino.
Who?
Rhino.
No Rhino.
No Chris Benoit?
No Benoit. I don't include him on any lists.
No Malenko.
No Malenko. That's actually, I forgot about him. But.
Little Guido.
Did I guess El Snow?
Yeah, you guessed El Snow. All right. This is dumb. All right. I want to tell you. Number three. Oh, Tony, here's a hint for you. Tony, number three is a person that was very involved in my first experience in pro wrestling.
Oh, Candido. You fuck.
Yes.
That I should have
got.
And
Tajiri. Chris Candido. No, Tajiri wasn't at that show.
No, I'm trying to guess the other one.
And number four is a guy who we have a lot of history with on the podcast.
Jerry Lynn, Rob Van Dam, Rhino, Mikey Whipwreck. I don't know, who the fuck else have we had on the show?
A lot of history.
Oh, Blue Meanie, that. You fuck.
Who?
Blue Meanie?
No. Like, he was one of our first big gets.
Josh Daniels. Kevin just died.
If you're not watching on the hot mic to watch Kevin's meltdown, you're fucking missing out so hard. Wait, read the list back.
All right, number one, Lance Storm. Number two, Jerry Lynn. Number three, Chris Candido. And number five, Shane Douglas.
Devin Storm.
I love me some Crowbar. I love me some Devin. But no.
Too Cold Scorpio?
Donkers. We go back with him.
Donkers.
Like, so far.
Stevie Richards.
Oh, no. Fucking Danny Doring.
That's a fair guess, but no. I'm further than Doring. Come on, Donkers.
Oh, my God. Raven? I said Raven.
Like, we spent time with him.
Did you vend him? Was it avenging?
Was it
situation?
Taz? I thought I said Taz.
Kevin is having a meltdown.
Oh my God, dude. Come on. I'm going to kick myself in the dick.
I don't dance anymore because this is clearly now personal. I'm just going to sit back on the sidelines and watch.
Unless you mentioned him and I didn't hear you, I don't think you did at all.
Who is it?
No, I'm not. This is too ridiculous.
He threw his hands up when I said you guys vended him.
He's not on the wall.
Morrison was never in ECW, right? That's no. The only person I know you vended.
Tough enough. Tony, he was a guest of ours not once, but twice.
Dude, I don't know.
Not once, but twice. in conventions.
Oh, fuck. You put Joel Gertner on the list?
Can't do this anymore. I can't.
Well, then why are you doing this to yourself?
Just incredible.
Oh, fuck. I forgot he was in ECW.
He's a former ECW world champion.
I know. I forgot.
Former tag team champion with another guy on the list, Lance Storm.
Sorry, dude. Brain fart. Couldn't remember him.
That's all you got for me right now.
Sorry, dude. Forgot. I don't know.
Honestly, that's kind of on you for not saving that list for Matt.
Yeah, you should have saved it. No, Matt would have nailed that one.
Others? Yes. Just incredible. He should have gotten immediately.
Dude. Conventions with Justin Credible were a long time ago.
I mentioned that all in my hints. Those are all in my hints.
I know. But I said Joel Gertner. We had him twice, didn't we?
Yeah, but he's not a wrestler.
Oh, he's a man's man. I don't know. You said ECW, no? Yeah, maybe you said wrestler. I don't remember. Well, that was Kevin's game. The second one was not as fun as the first one. But no, good job, dude. Hey, look, I didn't fucking get him. Sue me. What do you want me to tell you?
I'm going to sue you.
All right. Well, if you were disappointed in my performance there, where do you see these fucking doozies of questions I got for you two?
I don't have to refill for this.
Yeah. Maybe you want to go get yourself a little drink, a little drink ski, a little beer ski, whatever the hell you're putting down there.
Both are accurate.
We are sort of the Shining Wizard, shiningwizards.com. You can check out our entire back catalog there. We've got a Twitter, twitter.com/wizardspodcast or @wizardspodcast, some shit like that. Facebook.com/wizardspodcast. We do have a Discord. There's links all over the place on the Facebook page. Please join us. We talk about wrestling. We talk about TV. We talk about sports. We talk about DDP yoga. We talk about everything. So come join us over there. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of good people, a lot of positivity there. Just don't be a dick. Otherwise, we'll throw your ass out. Thankfully, that hasn't happened in the past week or two, I don't think, anyway. So come join us. It's a lot of fun. Kevin drinking a beverage. Kate, have you had a chance to go get yourself a little drink ski?
I haven't.
Yeah, do you need a second?
Are these going to be doozies of questions that I need to?
Yeah, these are going to be some fun. These are going to be fun. A lot of fun.
KTG, do it.
Kevin, I really apologize, bro. I don't know why I didn't think it just incredible.
You know what, Tony? I blame myself because
no, never, never, never.
I didn't have to put that list out there tonight. I
never blame yourself
for being the
victim.
You guys did a great job with
the
first one, and I got greedy because I was having too much fun with it because I really enjoy this gimmick.
Never, never blame yourself for being the victim, dude.
So now, is this a competition between me and KTG?
Oh yeah, you're defending your championship against him. Think of yourself as the Cody of the Shining Wizards. You defend against all comers, no matter where they come from.
All right, that's fair.
And I really hope we don't get to the tiebreaker because that's a bitch of a question. That is a bitch of a question. It's the same one that I've been holding for since last week. Or
there you go.
Hey.
It's Zuntai.
It's cough, but I appreciate the manners.
Well, you know what I mean. All right.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, here we go. It's time once again to play everyone's favorite show. Can you beat that? I wish I had fucking applause to play in the background, but I don't. We're low budget here. Ladies and gentlemen, first I want to welcome back our returning champion, undefeated, going on a 45-week winning streak. Please welcome back Shining Wizards, Kevin.
Well, Dr. Doc, it's great to be here. I'm very excited to participate against a very worthy competitor tonight. But I will say this. I pull no punches. I take no dives.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. How has your life changed being the undefeated champion of Can You Beat That?
Oh, God, Tony. I've relocated from one part of my basement to the other. It's huge. A lot more space for my action figures behind me on the workbench. So, and that's what you do. That's what workbenches are for. You put in work, you get the bench. And I'm going to dominate. Right.
Well, good luck tonight because you've got a worthy opponent coming up making her debut on Can You Beat That? Welcome the one and only Kate the Great. Kate, good to see you. How you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling ready. I feel like the last game we just played was like a nice warm-up for this game. I feel good. I'm ready to exercise the most important muscles you have in your brain head. Let's go.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well put. Well, good luck to both of you tonight. It's going to be a banger of an evening because we've got some amazing questions. Just to go over the rules real quick, everyone's going to get a chance to pick a category, and then that person is going to hear the question of said selected category, and we're going to tell them how many possible answers there are that are correct to said question. They're going to put out a number, and it's going to be up to the other person to decide if they can beat that or if they're going to let the other one answer the question. The first person to 2 points wins, and you get a point by either answering all the questions correctly or hoping that your opponent gets at least one wrong. 2 points wins, and if nobody wins after two rounds, we've got a killer of a tiebreaker, but we'll see if we go exactly that far. Kevin's got his lucky Brian Myers action figure. And I think, Kevin, if it's okay with you, sir, we're going to defer to our challenger, Kate, for the first question. Is that all right, sir?
Yeah, let it ride, baby.
Kate, we've got two questions to choose from tonight. The question that you do not choose will be Kevin's question up on the board. But we've got two categories for you to choose from. We've got Ladies 400, which has six correct answers, or we've got 2 weeks' notice, which has five correct answers. Kate, which one do you want to go with?
Let's do Ladies 400.
Ladies 400 it is. Kevin will be saving 2 weeks' notice for your control of the board. Kate, in the history of the WWE Women's Championship, six ladies have held the championship for a combined total of 400 or more days. We are not referring to the current Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. We are not referring to the Divas Championship. We are referring strictly to the WWF/WWE Women's Championship. Kate, of the six women who have held the championship for 400 plus days combined, maybe one reign, maybe more than one, how many can you name?
Three.
Kevin, Kate says she can name three of the six. Kevin, the question to you is, can you beat that?
I will say four.
Kate, Kevin says four. Kate, the question to you, can you beat that?
Now I'm going to let Kevin.
Kevin, the ball is in your court. Once again, the question. Six ladies have won the WWF, held the WWF/WWE Women's Championship for at least 400 days combined. Kevin, whenever you're ready, answer number one.
Trish Stratus.
Trish Stratus is number two, seven reigns with a combined 828 days.
Fabulous Moolah.
Fabulous Moolah with an astonishing 10,708 days over four reigns. Two more, Kevin.
Lita?
Kevin, I'm sorry. Lita is not on the list. Kate the Great gets the point. There were four more possible answers. Does anyone want to wager a guess as to who those four women are? It's open
was
to
Medusa one of them?
Wendy Richter, probably.
Wendy Richter is number five. She had two reigns for a combined 449 days.
Sherry Martel, probably.
Sensational Sherry. Yeah. She had one reign that was 441 days.
Because that was when the title was in complete flux. Not Rockin' Robin. Rockin' Robin?
Rockin' Robin held the championship one reign, 502 days. She was actually the champion where the title was rendered inactive on the 502nd day.
God, that's... Ah!
There's one more that you guys are missing.
Oh, I don't care. I got what I needed to win that one. And that's me.
Who is it?
Alundra Blaze, three reigns for 500...
Blaze, right?
Yep.
No, it's probably Leilani Kai.
No, it was Alundra Blaze.
Oh, what's Alundra Blaze?
Leilani Kai only held it once for like 40-something days. I think it was 41 or 42 days. Kate on the board with 1 point.
I can't. That's going to freaking haunt me.
Kevin, here's your chance to go to the tiebreaker. The topic is 2 weeks' notice. Kevin, there have been five WWF/WWE champions who have held the championship for less than 2 weeks, either as an individual reign or combined. Kevin, there's five possible answers. I can tell you right now, there are two reigns that are disputed. If those persons are named, they will not count against you, but they will not count as part of the five. I can't tell you who they are because they might give away some of the other answers.
Repeat that thing again?
Sure. Five men have held the WWF/WWE championship for less than 2 weeks across all of their reigns. Five. How many can you name?
Damn.
It's a tough one. It's a very tough one.
I can name. Oh, God. We're just talking WWE Championship, not Big Gold Belt Championship.
No Big Gold Belt, no World Championship, no WCW Championship, no, what do you call it? No Universal Championship. Strictly WWF, WWF, WWE. That lineage, that title.
I can name three.
Kevin says he can name three, Kate. Question to you is, can you beat that?
No, I think I could tie it, but I'm going to let Kevin name three.
Kevin. Five men have held the WWF/WWE/WWF championship for less than 2 weeks across all reigns. Kevin, you said you can name three whenever you're ready.
I said I can name three, but then I totally forgot about this one person's prior reign. Bob Backlund was going to be one of my three. He's not my guest, but that is stupid. Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio held it for less than a day. That's one.
Kane.
Kane held it for 1 day. That's three. Oh, that's number three on the list. Sorry. That's two. You have one more to go.
You got to give me some time on this one.
That's okay. Take your time.
Oh, my God. Less than 2 weeks combined. It's not Slaughter. It's not. Oh my God. 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 Can it be? Does Rob Van Dam count?
Are you going with Rob Van Dam?
I'm going with Rob Van Dam.
Ladies and gentlemen, with 2-0, we have a new champion, Kate the Great. No,
that's not true.
No, Rob Van Dam had the belt for 23 days. 22 days.
When was he fizzled out of the WWE Championship and only the ECW champion? When did they take that away from him?
It was 3 weeks later. He held it for 22 days.
He had both belts for 23 days?
Well, he had the WWE Championship for 22 days. He wound up losing. He won it at the pay-per-view, and then he lost it 3 weeks and a day later on Raw.
Let them dig their own graves, and I will rise to victory.
Yeah, you didn't do anything, so relax.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new champion for Can You Beat That, and her name is Kate the Great. Congratulations, Kate.
That is intergender championship wrestling right there.
Who are the other ones?
Okay.
Was Finn Balor one of them?
Finn Balor was not one of them. Finn Balor was also the Universal Championship, so no, he would not have been on the list. So here's the other three. Andre the Giant won the championship and then surrendered
bullshit.
It.
Bullshit.
Okay. He's officially listed as a champion.
No, bullshit.
Vince McMahon held the WWF championship for 6 days before he surrendered it. And Stan the Man Stasiak, transitional champion, held the belt for 9 days. The two I would have accepted but were not technically recognized that would not have counted were Antonio Inoki and the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, because the belt was held up with Inoki and Backlund, and Ted DiBiase was held up while they decided what was going to happen with the championship. Kevin left.
Kevin did leave, and I actually I would have definitely gotten Mysterio and Kane as well, but I was debating between Vince and Finn.
No, well, Finn never won the WWF Championship. That's the thing.
That, yeah. So that's, you know.
Kevin quit the show. Oh, my God.
Kevin quit the show. I won.
Oh, wow. He's coming back.
There's just so many people I would like to thank. I would like to start by thanking Kevin for just handing me the victory. I would like to thank Tony for having me on and conducting these games. I would like to thank Matt for bailing. And I would like to thank myself for having the strategic genius to let Kevin dig his own grave. So, yeah.
Hey, in fairness, I tried the same strategy Kate did last week, and I ate my fucking balls doing that. So it didn't work for me, but it worked for you, Kate. Congratulations. Kev, Kev, no shame in your game, my friend. You were up there. You were pretty damn close. Those were not easy questions.
First of all, I didn't lose. If someone doesn't actually beat me and answer questions, this could be Tony, this could be anyone. Bullshit. Oh, no. No one on this goddamn podcast knows more about professional wrestling than I do. No one does.
Wow. That is, I would agree with you, but if you look at the scoreboard, I think I want to know.
No one listening to this show knows more about professional wrestling than I do. So there's heel Kevin coming out right now. Bullshit. Bullshit. No offense, Kate. I love you.
First of all, I'm deeply offended. No. You're not going to get in my reign. I might have a one-day reign myself. My reign might be less than 2 weeks, but you know what? I don't care because I'm 1-0. I'm undefeated. I'm the reigning, defending, undisputed.
Wow. Does this mean we have to have her back next week?
We definitely have to have her back at some point, but maybe we'll have to have a number one contenders match between.
No. There's only one number one contender, and that's me.
Wow. Yeah. You know,
Kevin's exercising his rematch clause. I love it.
Bullshit. This whole podcast has gotten to hell.
Wow.
Oh, wow. No. It's like Kate's like CM Punk. She won the title and she's running through the crowd.
Oh, she's not running to her credit. She's there. She's not running from anything.
Kevin, this is exactly what happened. Rob Van Dam won it on June 11, 2006 at ECW One Night Stand, where he defeated John Cena. 3 weeks and a day later, on July 3rd, he dropped it on Raw in a triple threat match between he, John Cena, and Edge. And there you go. So it was 20.
So then he was just known as the ECW champion?
No. Well, yeah, but then he eventually lost it 2 nights later to the Big Show, I think. I have to look that up. Let me check out the ECW champions list.
Because I thought once Rob Van Dam won both, he was just known as the ECW champion. Could be wrong about that.
No, he still had the spinner belt. No, because Paul Heyman gave him the belt the next week on ECW TV. But that's the ECW championship.
Right, which is why I thought he was only known as the ECW champion after he won both. But I'm not saying it was the next night. I'm not saying it was
lost. You have all offseason to think about it.
Okay, you did. You did a good job not answering questions.
So June 13th, 2006, the title was revived for the ECW brand. Van Dam was awarded the title by Paul Heyman for winning the WWE Championship. And July 4th at an ECW show in Philadelphia, of course, the Big Show wins in an Extreme Rules match, cutting Rob Van Dam's title reign to 21 days.
All right, but that's his ECW title reign.
Yeah.
When did he relinquish the WWE title and was only known as the ECW champion?
He never did.
Once they gave him that ECW title,
he had both belts.
He was known as the ECW champion, though. So when was that?
He was known as ECW champion and WWE champion at the same time. He held both belts. And then he had his little problem with Sabu, so he dropped the belt to Edge, and then he dropped the ECW belt to Big Show the next night or 2 nights later, whatever it was.
I blame myself for thinking that Bob Backlund, that one night run was his only run. I should have named two.
Wait, you really completely forgot about Bob Backlund's reign before that?
When I said three, Bob Backlund was in my head. And then as soon as I said three, I realized that Bob Backlund had an 8-year run with the belts.
Well, there you go. Well, at least you were thinking about that.
I'm
surprised you didn't think of Andre, to be honest with you.
Because Andre's never the, because that's been disputed forever.
No, no. Andre is officially recognized as a former WWE
champion.
Well,
listen, how can you say that you went into this with saying that some can be disputed?
No, no, no. The two that were disputed were Ted DiBiase because he was never officially given the belt, and Antonio Inoki because there was a bait and switch in Japan. Those have never been recognized by WWE.
Andre's has?
Andre's has, yeah. Andre officially won the championship in a match.
I call BS on that one.
All right, well, I mean, you still could have said Vince McMahon.
No, that's fair, because he
could have said Stan the Man Stasiak. A lot of people don't realize he only had the belt for 9 days between Pedro and Bruno. That was the only wild card on the list, I think.
Yeah, I would have never gotten Stan Stasiak.
But still, like I said, had you said DiBiase or had you said Inoki, it wouldn't have counted as your numbers, but it wouldn't have, I wouldn't have penalized you for it. But there you go.
I still call bullshit.
Do we have anything that we need to plug before we get out of here? The bullshit train needs to pull into the station.
Comedy's dead. Nothing. Jesus. This whole world sucks.
Kevin is so salty. I love it. I don't know. You know what? Before we get out of here, I just wish I knew a little bit more about Bruno Sammartino.
Well, Kate, if you want to learn everything there is to know about Bruno Sammartino, you can join us over on the Discord, because over on the WWE channel, I've been chronicling Bruno all month, because July has been Bruno Sammartino month. Follow at 4040 on Discord to get all your information. There's only a couple more days left. You think I'm out of info? No, 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 no. There's plenty more to talk about with Bruno. And if you missed anything, you can go back through the entire month of July and get the entire story of the man and his career and his accomplishments and his allocades and all that other good stuff. Yes, I said allocades.
I have learned so much this month from Tony and his Bruno facts, and I appreciate it.
Accolades, by the way, Tony.
I know. It's a Lex Luger joke. Dun, 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 dun. We'd like
you
to
can
thank...
all just go, you can all go straight to hell.
Wow, fucking he just Shivani'd us. It's like fucking Hulkamania turning on the Hulkamaniacs here.
You can stick it, brother. You can stick it. All of you can stick it.
Well, first, I'd like to thank Brian Pillman Jr. for joining us tonight. Don't forget, I kind of forgot, so I'll go over his social media real quick. At Flying Brian Jr. on Twitter, Flying Brian 41 on Instagram. Don't forget, he's also got a pro wrestling tee store, prowrestlingtees.com/Brian Pillman Jr. I'd like to thank Matt for getting the awful shits for us to get the opportunity to talk to our new Can You Beat That champion, Kate the Great. Kate, thank you so much for joining us. We love Kevin.
It was an honor just to be nominated, honestly, and to come in with the victory. It just has really made these trying times such a brighter time for me. So they don't call me Kate the Great for nothing.
Kate, congratulations once again. It was well played. Your strategy paid off. Unlike mine, it didn't pay off.
Strategy. She just didn't know the answers. There's no strategy.
I would have guessed Vince.
No, you wouldn't have. Stop it.
I would have guessed Ben.
We'll talk later. All
Kate,
right?
Kate, I hate to do this because I love Kevin so much, but Kate, you were the winner tonight, which makes Kevin
a fucking loser.
Kev, I love you, buddy. Holy
you know
shit.
What? I didn't screw Kevin. Kevin screwed Kevin.
Hey, don't forget Wednesday night after Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite.
You have no idea how mad you're making me. It's fine. It's all right.
AEW Dynamite post show. See Kate the Great again. Hopefully Matt's not shitting his fucking kidneys out again. And with the Russinellos and Ryan Arthur, if he's not fucking passed out somewhere, because we know he likes to sleep a lot. Say goodnight, Kevin.
Shut up, Tony. Shut up your face. Shut up your mouth. Shut up your butt. Shut up. Shut up your arms, your legs, your microphone. Turn them all off and get out of here. We're done. It's over.
We are done, Ski.